This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance. And that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission. We're vets serving vets. Good vision starts with healthy eyes. Primary Eye Care Associates encourages you to have a comprehensive vision and eye health exam periodically, even if no symptoms of a problem exist.
We recommend that parents of young children bring their babies to Primary Eye Care Associates for their first exam between 6 and 12 months of age. This visit is free of charge through a special public health program called Infant C.
Dr. Karen Fortman is one of 8 outstanding doctors of optometry at Primary Eye Care Associates.
And we want to ensure that school-age children have normal visual development, too. They must meet the demands of the classroom and the activities and sports that they play.
For your convenience, no matter what age, Primary Eye Care has locations in Sydney, Fort Loramie, Jackson Center, Troy, and St. Paris.
Continued eye care is important for adults, too. We want to keep your eyes healthy for as long as you live. Primary Eye Care wants you to see your best, look your best, and feel your best.
Your Primary Eye Care team of over 50 associates is available weeknights and Saturday mornings.
We're committed to caring for your vision and eye health for your lifetime.
Visit us online at primaryeyecare.org.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
It is a gorgeous night for high school football on this Thursday here on ScoresBroadcast.com. I'm Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee. It's game number 2 of our 2018 high school football campaign as we bring you this contest tonight between the homestanding Sydney Yellow Jackets and the Bellefontaine Chieftains, who are on the road. Each team a year ago made the playoffs 10-2 by way of record for both the Yellow Jackets and Chieftains in 2017. And we're going to see how these two clubs fare here tonight against each other. Each a setback in the opening week of play last Friday evening. Sydney was defeated quite handily by a score of 35-7. And Bellefontaine dropped its first game of the year by a 28-14 count. Chuck, it's going to be a long road back for these two teams, which graduated nearly 35 seniors between them. And the big triumvirate, the big three for Sydney, moved on. Andre Gordon, finished up his career following his junior year last season. Devin Rogers, two-way player, offense and defense, big lineman. He's gone, graduated, senior. Isaiah Bowser's at Northwestern. Who knows? He may see some starting time in the Northwestern backfield. You don't replace those three young men for Sidney, that's for sure.
Well, you don't replace them, but I'll tell you, if you look at the lineup over here, the cupboard is not bare. They've got some athletes. They've got Darren Taborn. They've got Josiah Hudgens. They've got Rotez Roberts, who I think will be the best athlete on the field, and Keith Lee. The problem is all of those young men are receivers. They play wideouts. You've got to be able to get – they got Ryan Dunham at quarterback. This is his first game because he's replacing Gordon, who left for Huntington Prep. But they've got to be able to get them the ball. They need to be able to run them out of the backfield. They need to throw quick passes out on the flat and let them use their speed and their athleticism, because those young men are athletes, and they need to be able to touch the ball. Last week, they ended up with 192 total yards, but 73 of those were on one rush. So they're going to have to be more consistent. They turned the ball five times last week. Those are things that they – first game jitters, playing without Gordon, those are things that I'm sure that they need to adjust, and I'm sure they talked about it quite a bit in practice this week.
Yeah, on the road at St. Mary's for Sidney has been a challenge over the last couple decades. It was again last week, five touchdowns to one. Meanwhile, Bellefontaine dropped a 28-14 tilt to Wapakoneta. That was no big surprise, Bellefontaine losing that game. Bellefontaine rebuilding just like Sidney. Each team trying to generate new offensive players at key positions, although Sidney does have a wealth of talent back at the wideout spots. But as you mentioned, Chuck, you've got to be able to get the football to them.
Well, you need to design something to get them the ball. And if you can't throw it downfield to them, then you need to be able to throw it wide. You need to put them in motion. You need to do something, run a lot of screens, get the ball to them, and let them use their athleticism, because they have a bunch of it.
Interesting rivalry over the years between Sidney and Bellefontaine. In fact, it will be sustained next year as the opener when Sidney goes to a 9-game conference schedule. As you well know, this league in which Sidney plays now will be restructured, and the teams to the north of I-70 will remain in the Sidney Conference. I'm talking about Troy. I'm talking about Tip. I'm talking about Vandalia Butler. I'm talking about Piqua. I'm talking about Greenville. And they'll unite with the several schools south of I-70, including the likes of Xenia and Fairborn, for instance. There will be 9 games in the conference next year, a newly aligned conference, which will be separate from powerhouses Centerville and Wayne and Northmont, for example.
Right. Well, I played in this rivalry in 1967. I was a freshman. I was at Bellefontaine, and we beat Sidney 6-0 at a field that down the street that doesn't look much like this one. But that was back when Piqua, Bellefontaine, and Sidney were the class of the MVL back in those days.
Yep.
And it's always been a great rivalry, and it hasn't lost anything through the years.
So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens here tonight. This rivalry will not come to an end, as I noted. The Sidney-St. Mary's rivalry will, however. They played in excess of 60 times. Last week was Sidney's opener on the road against the Rough Riders. It wound up in a 28-7 setback. 5 big turnovers in that game, as Chuck alluded to. And, of course, Bellefontaine had its hands full with Wapakoneta. Wapakoneta made the playoffs a year ago. Bellefontaine made the playoffs a year ago. Sidney made the playoffs a year ago. And as I alluded, both Bellefontaine and Sidney were 10-2 last season. Cupboard not totally bare for the two programs. But, wow, quality skill players have graduated. This has been a phenomenal rivalry over the years. Sidney leads the series 59-43. There have been 9 ties. Despite the 9-game league schedule for Sidney beginning next season, as I mentioned, the rivalry will be sustained. It continues. The St. Mary-Sidney rivalry, for the time being anyway, ended last week 37-27 in favor of St. Mary's. There have been 3 ties in that long series. But when you've got a series, Chuck, finding two clubs meeting 112 times, including tonight, you do your best to keep it going somehow, don't you?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you know, they're not that far away. They're old league rivals, and I think it's great. I mean, there was a time where Pick One Troy, when Troy went to the WOL, that they didn't play for a couple of years, and it's not football season if Pick One Troy doesn't play, and and I think it's the same thing here. I think Belle Fountain and Sydney, I think they definitely they need to play each other.
Oh yeah, it's a great weather night.
Perfect.
In fact, here this year in the month of August, we are bringing you on scoresbroadcast.com three, count them, three games. Last week, August 24th, Friday. A week ago tomorrow night, tonight, August 30th, tomorrow night, August 31st, never before have we presented three high school football contests in the month of August. It happens for the first time this year here in 2018, and we're really privileged to be a part of it. Fine weather evening last week, warmer tonight, a little more humid, and we expect good conditions once more tomorrow night.
Yep.
For the clash between... who is it we're covering tomorrow?
Anna.
Night? Right. Anna is home.
And Brookville.
To Brookville.
Yeah.
And that's been an outstanding rivalry in the last few years. Anna's dominated the last couple seasons. Brookville the previous few before that. But it should be a pretty even matchup. Tomorrow night, again, it's two teams which a year ago had a lot of letter winners who moved on.
Right.
In fact, in the Upper Miami Valley, Chuck, that's kind of the theme. A number of the programs had strong senior classes in 2017, one season ago in football. Not the case this year. We had four teams make the playoffs, the four-week cover primarily, in Shelby County. Anna, Lehman Catholic, Sydney High, Fort Loramie, all made the postseason. And, it might be a difficult challenge to get one of those four in the postseason this year.
I think our wagon needs to be hitched to Minster at some point. they have reloaded again.
Sure have. Of course, so we covered Minster, Fort Loramie last week. Minster won up with three touchdowns. Fort Loramie gave a good account of itself, but Minster struck with two lengthy pass plays in the first half of that game to bolt to a lead, and Minster never looked back in defeating Fort Loramie one week ago. Speaking of the Fort Loramie Redskins, they are on the road down at Madeira tonight. Fort Loramie, I'm sorry, tomorrow night.
Right.
This is Thursday, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. This is going to throw me, too.
Oh, yeah. It's Thursday. Fort Loramie's at Madeira tomorrow night. Then next week, Fort Loramie returns home to play Covington. That is a key conference matchup next Friday night, and we'll bring that game to you right here on scoresbroadcast.com. I'd like to let our listeners know that our anchor underwriting sponsors are American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Route 25A, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in its western Ohio district, Wilson Health Sports Medicine, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around. In his eighth year as the head coach of the Sydney Yellow Jackets is Adam Dungis. I had the privilege to talk to him earlier this week, and he said his club is rebuilding after saying goodbye to the Big Three, which carried the Sydney Yellow Jackets football team one year ago.
Obviously, when you lose an Isaiah Bowser to graduation, a Devin Rogers, who was, you know, a lineman to graduation, and then Andre Gordon moving down to Huntington Prep to finish out his prep career, those are big voids as a Division I athlete. But when you lose 10, 11 linemen, and not all those linemen played, but they also were vital parts during the week on scout teams and all that kind of stuff, that's a big void to fill. Not just were those guys good football players, but overall they were great people too. I looked it up. Those guys in their high school career, their sophomore, junior, and senior year, those guys won 20 games in 3 years, which may not seem like a lot for some programs that got a deep history. But those 20 wins in those 3 years were the most wins by a senior class in 46 years around here. The 1972 team had 25 wins the last 2 years of the 30-0, and then 5-5 their senior year. So 20 wins, the most we've had in this program in over 40-some years. It shows a lot of consistency, and that's the goal for our team this year, is not take a step backwards.
And you're not going to replace those young men overnight. Assess the game one performance, the loss at St. Mary's.
You know, I thought we did a nice job as far as being physical and being tough. I praised our kids after the game because of how hard we played. I said it numerous times, this is the hardest working team I've had in 8 years. I don't know what that's going to do for us, because obviously we don't have the kind of athletes we did the past couple of years, but they're great, hardworking kids. And we did that on Friday against St. Mary's. Unfortunately, we just made a lot of mistakes, and that falls back on me. And I had to do a better job this week of getting my coaching staff and getting our players to do things a little bit better in key situations when we had to produce a little bit better. But I like the attention to focus we had this week, and we'll continue to do that.
Almost impossible to win a high school football game or football at any level when you commit 5 turnovers.
No, it is. And then, you know, we only forced St. Mary's into 1 turnover.
Right.
So that's been a talk this week.
Yep.
When you're that lopsided, you know, we might have been lucky that the score was actually 35-7. It could have been a lot worse when you got a +4 turnover margin. So we got to do a better job as far as taking care of the ball, and we got to create some turnovers also this week.
Adam Dungis, 8th year head coach, Sydney football, before tonight's game between the Yellow Jackets and Bell Fountain. Strengths, weaknesses of your team to date. What have you been happy with through scrimmages, practices, and game one?
Like I already alluded to, the effort and just the overall physicalness, I've been really happy with. I think it's the best it's been in my 8 years, but it's also got to be better. You know, it wasn't good enough for us last week. I really like offensively, you know, we're going to be creative this year. I still think we can run the ball, but you also don't have an Isaiah Bowser back there for the first time in 3 years. So our screen game, our short passing game is going to be better this year. And for the first time in maybe ever since I've been here, our perimeter blocking from our receivers has been excellent. I thought our wide receivers last week did an excellent job of getting after it, taking out some linebackers, taking free safeties and blocking those guys, whether it was a run game or the screen game. So I've been pretty pleased with those guys.
And Caleb Harris, 70 yards from scrimmage. You'd like for him to get maybe 12 yards 6 times.
Yeah, no, he's a great kid. He's a kid that's been on the field a lot for us the last 2 years, and he's going to continue to be on the field a lot for us this year.
Right.
And he's got some added responsibilities of being able to carry the ball. We'll also still use him at wide receiver. But we got to do a better job of maybe getting him a couple more breaks here and there on the offense and defensive side of the ball, because he's on a lot of our special teams also. So this week, you'll probably see maybe Darren Taborn a little bit more in the backfield, along with Christian Rutter, who took some carries last week. But, you know, Darren adds us another little dimension as far as speed and some wiggle when he gets outside on the perimeter. So, you know, once again, it'll still be a running back by committee, but we're going to throw Darren into that committee also probably a little bit more this week.
Sydney beat Bell Fountain last year on the road in a thriller in week 2. Thursday night game this week. We're talking on Tuesday. Do you like the short week? Do you like the TV game on Thursday? Tell me, yes or no?
We do like the Thursday night games. I think I like it a little bit later in the year. Okay. You know, I'm not going to take this away. It's a great opportunity for our kids, and it's a great opportunity for former players that don't live in the area anymore. I mean, we got kids that are serving in our military or stationed in Japan and Germany and Switzerland and all over the world and California, and this gives an opportunity for those guys to watch the game. And our kids, it's still a thrill for them, so we'll continue to do that if they continue to present the opportunity for us to play. That being said, week 1 to week 2, you need to have your biggest room for improvement. You got the week 1, the huffing and the puffing and the real live game action for the first time. You feel it. Hopefully you can make some adjustments and see your biggest amount of improvement of the entire year between week 1 and week 2. A little tougher to do that when you got one less day to do it. But I thought we did some nice things this week, and you know, we're not the only ones that have one less day to prepare for it. Bell Fountain's got to do it too. So
right.
It'll be interesting to see if we can show an improvement this week.
Hey, there may be no better long-standing high school football rivalry around than this one between the Yellow Jackets and the Chieftains.
No, don't quote me on this, but we might be the 5th longest rivalry as far as we've got a this is the 111th game, 112th game.
Oh, it's 100 plus.
There can't be. I'm pretty sure we're in the top five as far as the amount of games played. And you know, it's a special game. You know, obviously next year is our last year. We'll play St. Mary's as our home opener.
Right.
And then we'll move back to Bell Fountain. And you know, a lot of people, particularly people from St. Mary's, will want to scream tradition at us. And I'm from there, and they'll scream tradition. But fact is, we've played Bell Fountain for 100 plus times. Right. St. Mary's, that rivalry game's probably been played in the 60s. Mm-hmm. I don't think any more than 70. This big game for Bell Fountain goes back to 1899. A lot of tradition there. We play them in every other sport. It's a great game for the communities, and we're excited to be a part of it and continue that tradition on.
Head coach Adam Dungis of the Sydney Yellow Jackets, and he lost Devin Rogers to graduation, and he lost the outstanding quarterback Andre Gordon to graduation, and he lost the outstanding running back Isaiah Bowser to graduation. I misspoke, actually. Andre Gordon left after 2 years for the prep school, but a real challenge to virtually overnight have to replace the three. But if anybody is equal to that challenge, it is the Sydney High School football head coach Adam Dungis, which has his team out on the field now, attired in the home black headgear, white and gold trim, white pants, and the Bell Fountain Chieftains have come onto the field from across the way. Toby Smith is Bell Fountain's head coach, his sixth year as the mentor of the program, and he looks forward to guiding his club against Sydney here tonight.
You know, it was a spread offense at West Liberty Salem. It's a spread offense here at Bell Fountain. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, if it isn't broke, don't fix it type thing. And we had a lot of success at West Liberty Salem. We're having a lot of success here. We're liking what we're doing. We really enjoy the group of kids we have right now. And, you know, we're looking forward to tonight's game.
The challenge is being a head coach in high school football. You lose seniors every few seasons, so you've got to start from scratch at a number of spots on the field. And you were hit hard by graduation a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than the other year. Every year, seniors graduate. I can't think of a scenario where you've had zero. So every year, certain positions leave. And, you know, really, I think that our staff does a good job of preparing the younger kids so that when it's their turn, that they're ready. You know, we've been fortunate enough to play a lot of kids over the last couple of years. And so those kids aren't Friday nights inexperienced. You know, they're just younger. And, you know, wide-eyed a little bit.
Libertus won a heck of a quarterback a year ago. You really don't replace him. Your son, Grant Smith, is the starting QB this season as a junior.
Well, yeah, I mean, if anyone was going to watch a football game and say that Grant Smith is Desmond, then they have not watched. You know, but Desmond's a special player, and, you know, no offense to him, he's done, and we had a great experience with him, and we're focusing in on what's in here in front of us now and the things that Grant can do well and how he can help us win football games.
Your skill players, talk about them just a moment, your returning experience at those spots on the field.
Well, Garrett Gross had over 1,000 yards last year, and Jack Clement was a highly, you know, targeted receiver last year. We've got some skill coming back. It's not like we're, you know, the cupboard is completely bare, and we have some nice linemen here and some supplemental skill kids, you know, Ty Leeper, Brandon Hayes, Carter Sterling, Declan Ashcraft. Those are all kids that, you know, we're looking to get the football to as often as we can. And try to balance our offense as much as possible in order to be hard to defend.
Like Sydney, you open it up offensively, the spread, trying to get your speed players out in space.
Well, yeah, it's a numbers game. You know, where are there? I mean, there's an odd number, so, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, how many people are in the box? How many people are out of the box? You know, where is your advantage? Where's your disadvantage? And you try and maximize your opportunities by putting your kids in the best position to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Toby Smith, head coach of Bell Fountain, our guest before tonight's game between Bell Fountain and Sydney. 6 years at Bell Fountain now. Have you changed your coaching approach at all here as the mentor of the Chieftains?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think you'd have to ask, former players of, of each school and see if it's any different. I think it's the same. Maybe Mrs. Smith, you might want to ask. Maybe you could ask her, But at the end of the day, I think I am who I am. I think the kids understand who that is. I mean, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect by any stretch. And, I'm trying to get better every day as well.
Speaking of Mrs. Smith, she is a big sports fan, too. I bet it's a little challenging at times coming home at night, having left the practice field with your son as the quarterback. The last thing you want to talk about is football at dinner time, but it probably does come up, doesn't it?
Well, it does come up, and yes, she is sports-minded, and we have seven children, so
wow,
we certainly have other things to talk about. We have five boys and two girls, and we're very fortunate and blessed that everybody's healthy and able to participate in the things that they want to participate in. And so we've got our hands full, so sometimes, dinner table is a lot of different conversations other than just our football games.
A defensive scheme at Bell Fountain, similar to Sydney, just a bit different.
Sure. I mean, a 4-3 versus a 3-3 stack, take a couple of people and position them a little bit differently, and they're there. But at the end of the day, it's, 11 versus 11, and, where they line up is not necessarily that relevant as long as you understand your rules and follow your rules and go where you're supposed to go. And, you can possibly execute a play. And, their job on defense is to try and confuse it a little bit, play aggressively, and make us make mistakes, and then vice versa on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, Bell Fountain's year in, year out, game one rivalry versus Wapakoneta. You lost 28-14. What did you learn from that game? What did you work on this week in preparation for Sydney?
Well, what we learned is that we got to get a lot better. A lot of the things that we knew were potential problems reared their ugly head. We didn't help ourselves at all by turning basically a punt over the head of the punter as a turnover indirectly. Mm-hmm. And then the pick six obviously didn't help us either. We know that we can't survive in an environment where we turn the ball over like that. So we worked on those things. I mean, mistakes are going to happen in every football game. You just hope that they're not magnified by points attached. Mm-hmm. And in both scenarios, we're going to focus in on what's coming forward. We've addressed them. We're not sitting here thinking that that's going to happen every week because we know our kids and we know they're going to succeed and they're going to work hard and they're going to try and limit those mistakes.
And we are just about set to get started on a beautiful night for high school football. Second game of the year for the Sydney Yellow Jackets and the Bell Fountain Chieftains. Sydney in the home, dark black jerseys, gold numerals, black headgear, white pants. Bell Fountain, the road, white from top to bottom with red numbers, red sleeves, and black and red helmets. And we're all set as Sydney kicks it off against the wind. It's a little pooch kick down the near sideline, traveling out of bounds inside the 30-yard line. These two teams have split the last six. Bell Fountain's won six of the last 10. Sydney, however, has a lead in this series, 59 wins to 43 for Bell Fountain. And the Bell Fountain Chieftains have elected to take the ball as an option at the 35-yard line. Sydney will not re-kick. Bell Fountain with field position from the 35. First down, 10 yards to go to begin this game. The quarterback is Grant Smith for Bell Fountain. 6 feet, 2 inches tall, a junior, 200-pounder. He's in the spread, and he's got two receivers to the left, one to the right. And now running back Bruno Patterson, a 6-footer, 235-pounder, shifts from right to left. And here is the quarterback, Smith, electing to keep. He tucks the ball under his shoulder and zips around left end for an even 10 yards. Looks like he's got a first down. And that will be Sydney's challenge here tonight, Chuck, is to get the offense on the field. Yellow Jackets defense did not do that often enough in the season opening loss.
That was a good fake. They gave it to Garrett Gross, and that's a 5'10", 195-pound junior, and he ran the ball pretty darn well right there.
And this time, Sydney stuffs the running play at the line of scrimmage. No gain. Yellow Jacket fans on their feet, and the Sydney reserves on the sideline are whooping it up. Maybe a gain of a foot, and that's it. Second down, a little less than 10 to go for Bell Fountain from the Chieftains' 45-yard line. what wind there is maybe at the back of the fountain here at the start of the game, Chuck. Kind of unusual. Sydney kicked off against the wind.
Yeah. It seems breezier now than it did at the coin toss, so that might have been the difference.
Here is the quarterback with a delayed handoff to the ball carrier. Swerving left end is the runner, and he chugs up over the 50 down to the Sydney 46. That was Garrett Gross again. He was dished the football from the quarterback, Grant Smith. Play good for about 8.5, a yard short of a first down. Nose of the pigskin just shy of the Sydney 46. We played 1.5, no score. Bell Fountain's initial drive of this game. Chieftains have racked up 1 first down. In the spread formation, the QB, Smith, 6'2", 200-pounder. Running play outside right tackle. And chugging ahead is the ball carrier for a plus 3. First and 10, Bell Fountain at the 42 of Sydney.
6'2", 210 pounds. That's a nice luxury to have your quarterback when you only need a yard.
It sure is. Bruno Patterson is a running back for Bell Fountain. 6-footer, 235-pound senior, as is Garrett Gross, who's carried it once already. 5'10", 195, a junior. In the spread formation, Grant Smith calls signals. He's got a running back alongside. Over the ball at center, Hudson Hall, a 5'10", 190-pound junior. And Bell Fountain powers right up the gut for 4 or 5 on first down to the Sydney 38. Garrett Gross lugged it. Gain of 4, 2nd and 6 for the Chieftains. Wind out of the northwest at the Chieftains' back here at the outset of the game.
Pretty good crowd here tonight for a Thursday night.
Super excellent crowd following the Yellow Jackets here in this home opener on Thursday evening. And a good throng from Bell Fountain across the way. We see a scattering of red and black from one end zone to the other. Running play, Chieftains. Quarterback, I think, kept it. Plowed ahead for a yard or two. That was it. He was knocked off his pins at the 35.
Ryan Cagle stopped him right there. Ryan Cagle.
He had a good defensive year last season for Sydney. Made a key stop then.
That probably saved him a first down for sure.
No doubt about it. Third down, a little more than 2 to go for a first down for Bell Fountain. Outside the Sydney 35, we played a little over 3 minutes. Handoff on the play to Gross. No, the quarterback kept it. Look at him go. He chews up yardage over right tackle. Spins inside the 25. Dumped at the 17-yard line. Good sleight of hand maneuver by the QB for Bell Fountain. Well done on the play by Grant Smith.
Well, I know I was watching Gross. Good thing I wasn't playing defense.
Boy, it looked like Smith had ideas of giving it to Gross, kept it in his tummy. It looked like for maybe a stride or more, and then yanked it away when a seam opened up. Here is a delayed handoff, offensive backfield. Gross tries to swerve around left end. He's rolled to the turf at the 14. He got 3. Second down and 7 for Bell Fountain at the Sydney 14. And 4 minutes have already ticked off here in the first quarter. Time consuming drive by Bell Fountain, opening offensive thrust of this game. Two receivers to the left, and we've got a penalty marker being tossed. It's against Sydney. Bell Fountain Chieftains with Hudson Hall over the ball at center, 5'10", 190, a junior. Jason Kidwell, 6'1", 225, a junior. And Micah Fogan, 5'9", 240, a sophomore at the guards. And Isaac Newman, 5'11", 205, a senior. And Ryan Poole, 6'4", 270, a junior at the tackles. And we've got a wideout split to the near side. It's Bruno Patterson, 6', 235-pound senior. And instead, Bill Fountain elects to run it. The quarterback, Grant Smith, keeps it. And he tries to dance around the left side. He's upended down inside the 10 in the area of the 5 or 6. Very close to a first down. And he picked it up. Nose of the football resting inside the 5.
Well, they got away with a hold, and it was a hold at the point of attack that time.
We'll call it goal to go, I should say, at the 4. We played 4.5 minutes. Serious threat being posed by Bell Fountain, and the quarterback keeps it. Plowing straight ahead is Grant Smith, and he chugs into the end zone. Touchdown behind his left offensive guard, Jacob Kidwell, 6'1", 225, a junior.
65 yards all on the ground.
Well done by the Chieftains. 7:18 left in the first. 6-0 Bell Fountain. Extra point try coming up. The booter is Robb. He's the place kicker. Derek Robb, 5'11", 175, a soft. And he smacks it right between the uprights. Well done. Excellent kick. Fine offensive drive by Bell Fountain to start the contest. And with just over 7 to play in the first quarter, the Chieftains lead the Yellow Jackets 7-0 on scoresbroadcast.com.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Bodkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you too will return to the In Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, 7 of us, including 5 children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Bodkin's, 25 and 274.
Last year, Sydney outscored Bell Fountain 42-33 in the game at the Chieftain Stadium. And it looks like tonight, in order for Sydney to win, the Yellow Jackets will have to outscore Bell Fountain once more because the Chieftains are off and running, having scored a touchdown, an extra point, in less than 5 minutes of this game here tonight. And the kickoff is excellent. It sails toward the pylon, right corner of the field, and hits at the goal line and bounds into the end zone. So Sydney will start first down, 10 yards to go, trailing by a count of 7-0. A beautiful ground game displayed by Bell Fountain to start this contest, Chuck.
Well, running between the quarterback and the running back, and they just sliced them. They didn't have a clue, and they're all down there together with the defensive coaches right now, sitting down there talking about it.
Yep, as we mentioned in the pregame, along that line of scrimmage, the Yellow Jackets don't have big Devin Rogers this year, and he was a massive humanity on defense. He took up two offensive linemen oftentimes. Sometimes it required a third to block Devin, and that freed up other defenders. But Bell Fountain chugged right through Sydney on the game's opening drive, and Bell Fountain comes up with a big first play stop behind the line, forcing Sydney into a 2nd and 12 from the Yellow Jackets' 18-yard line. Sydney wants to throw. Plenty of time for the quarterback for the Yellow Jackets, who hits a receiver on the dead run. It's Darren Taborn. He caught it. Far hash mark at the 32, and he zipped beyond the 35 to the 40 and over it. Very productive pass play, Chuck, from the 18 to the 43. Nicely done by Ryan Dunham, the QB, a 5'11", 182-pound junior.
Well, the key to that was the fact they gave him time for that crossing pattern to set up.
Sure did. Well done by the offensive line. Those players will run down for you momentarily for Sydney. Here's a fake toss sweep in the offensive backfield, and Dunham elects to handle the football. He sprints right up the gut, dashes over the 50 to the Chieftains' 45, spilled at the 43. He's got a first down, rumbling for 12 or 13 more. Ryan Dunham, a 5'11", 182-pound junior, calls signals. Over the ball at center, Brian Jones for Sydney. 5'9", 270, a soft. Here's an end sweep around the left side. Ball carrier for Sydney is Caleb Harris. He made one man miss, danced to the 40 of the Chieftains, setting up a second down and a little more than 6 yards to go for a first down.
Well, they're running the E.J. Harris. out or Davis out of a Wildcat situation. I can get this right. It's early in the season for me too. But that's what that was, that big run that he had earlier, and that's Davis.
You're right, Chuck. Davis is in at quarterback. And let's see if he elects to run it again. He's on the field in lieu of Dunham, and he keeps. He zips around the right side, chugs inside the 40, spilled at the 36 of the Chieftains. Within a couple yards of a first down, setting up third and two for Sydney. Ryan Dunham coming back on the field now for this third down call for Sydney. And to the sideline comes E.J. Davis, who lugged it the last two plays, as Chuck noted.
He's only a freshman, too.
Third and a couple from the Chieftains, 35. Inside handoff, Belfountain with good penetration. They swarm the ball carrier, and it's a loss of three or four. All the way back to the 40. Previous line of scrimmage, the 35. And here's a roughness penalty against Belfountain. Well, the Chieftains simply would not free their hands from the ball carrier, who was caught way behind the line of scrimmage for Sydney. And Belfountain continued to spin him around and around as the whistles blew and blew.
Well, everything was good until the last person shoved him. And it was right in front of the official. The official had no choice. I mean, it wasn't a real rough play, but it was definitely after the whistle.
Exactly. Penalty gives Sydney the first down at the Belfountain 25. 4:54 to go first quarter. Belfountain 7, Sydney nothing. Two receivers to the right for the Yellow Jackets, one to the left. Darren Taborn, the man in motion, and he gets the handoff. He tries to sweep right in. He goes toward the yard marker across the way, and he high steps out of bounds right on the line of scrimmage, the 25. Chieftains did a nice job stringing that play out. Second down and 10, ball at the far hash mark. Sydney can get a first down at the Chieftains 15. Belfountain moved the ball well in its opening drive, scored within 5 minutes, added the extra point. Sydney trying to retaliate. Second and 10, 25 of Belfountain. Quarterback Dunham drops to throw, 5 yards, 7 yards behind the line, lofts it, end zone, leaping effort, 9 yards deep in the end zone. Yes, it's a touchdown. Woo! Tremendous catch by Sydney just inside the back edge of the end zone, and leaping high to haul that in was one of the Yellow Jackets' wideouts.
That was Lathan Jones.
Sydney is blessed with some very good ones. And that was one of them, 6'1", 182-pounder Lathan Jones, who went high in the air over the top of a safety for Belfountain. A launch off the ground by the wideout for Sydney, and he came down with the football, went up above everybody to pull it down. And here's the extra point try by the Yellow Jackets, Truesdale. The young lady smacks it home between the uprights, and we're tied at 7. A good offensive start to this Thursday night game here tonight from Sydney. Yellow Jackets 7, Chieftains 7, 4:10 to go first quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge, and that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice, and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass, AAGinc.com.
This is scoresbroadcast.com, scores, S-C-O-R-E-S. Your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Chuck, a fine answer by the Yellow Jackets. Belfountain took the football. went 65 yards down the field in less than 5 minutes. Sydney comes right back in less than three and takes it 80 for a score, and we're knotted seven apiece.
He was 2 for 2 for 48 yards and a touchdown. That was a pretty good possession for Sydney offensively. Mel Fountain helped him a little bit with the penalty,
yep.
But the Yellow Jackets did a nice job answering, like you said.
And Sydney's offensive line offered the quarterback Dunham excellent protection. Let's give credit where it's due. Tackle Zach Smothers, a junior, 290-pounder, 6-footer for Sydney up front. Another tackle, Evan Kennedy, 5'11", 258. He is just a freshman. The guards, Dylan Vanderpool, a senior, 5'11", 278. And Cooper Collingsworth, 5'9", 254. He, too, a 12th grader. Those offensive guards, the strength of that Sydney up front personnel. The center, Brian Jones, 5'9", 271, a sophomore. Here's the kickoff by Sydney, rolling on the ground inside the Chieftains 40. Bill Fountain hovers over the football at the 37, and that's where the visitors in white shirts start. 37-yard line of Bill Fountain. Good field position for the Chieftains twice now, Chuck, 35 and 37.
Right.
And the home team simply cannot afford Bill Fountain field position like that whenever the football gets exchanged throughout this game. Sooner or later, Sydney's got to pin Bell Fountain back, but the Chieftains can once again breathe comfortably, this time from the 37. Power sweep to the right, trying to get the corner, turn the ball carrier. Sydney gang tackles at the line of scrimmage. No gain on the play. It was Garrett Gross, 5'10", 195, a junior, trying to squirm wide. He couldn't do it. And actually, Chuck, that's a minus one, a loss.
I think they gave him a yard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread the posts across the way. Yep, rather than a minus one, it's a plus one. Second down and 9, 38 and a half of Bell Fountain. Oh, the man in motion might have moved. There is a flag. Forward pass by the quarterback of Bell Fountain is zipped down the left hash, well overthrown. That wound up being an aborted play. Bell Fountain's timing a little off. A marker was tossed at the line of scrimmage.
I would think they'll decline this. It'll be 3rd and 9.
And with the 5-yard step off against Bell Fountain, it had been 3rd and 9. Now it's 3rd and 14.
It's 2nd.
I'm sorry. 2nd and 14. We'll get it straight.
That's why I kind of like declining the penalty there.
2nd down, 14 yards to go. Would have been 3rd and 9. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
That's why they pay him the big bucks, though.
Yeah, I think I might have declined the penalty as well and forced a key possession play on 3rd down. Now Bill Fountain's quarterback behind the line. Delayed hand to the ball carrier, who zips around left end. He's got back about 9 or 10 yards, leaving Bill Fountain short by 5 of a 1st down. Garrett Gross turned the corner, and he scooted for a gain of every bit of 9. So it's 3rd down and close to 6 to go for a 1st down for the Chieftains at their own 41. Game tied at 7, 3:25 to go in the first quarter. The Fountain with two receivers to the near side, one to the left. Man in motion across the formation. Here's the quarterback looking to the right, sailing one wide, and it's picked off, intercepted by Sydney. A great interception by Josiah Hudgens. He scoots down the near sideline. He'll take it to the house, untouched. Hudgens read it, made the interception at about the 40 of Bell Fountain. And he dashed the rest of the way untouched. And Sydney, with 2 scores in the first 9 minutes, one by the defense, has taken the lead 13-7.
Well, on the two passes that he's thrown, He doesn't look like he had, either he's guiding it or he doesn't have a lot of arm strength. That's a tough pass for him to throw. Sidney had a choice which one wanted to intercept that for the touchdown, because two kids had a choice to intercept that. The receiver had no prayer.
You're so right. Yeah, the quarterback for Belle Fountain, Chuck, attempted to throw that laterally across the field from one hash mark to a spot beyond the hash mark on the near side, and it got there slowly and late. Great play by Sidney, which made the interception. And on with the PAT try is Hallie Drewsdale, and she smacks her second straight between the uprights. 3 minutes left, opening quarter. Sidney 14, Belle Fountain 7 on scoresbroadcast.com.
The Gem in Rushi, Ohio is the Jewelry Barn. Jolene Renderly and her staff are certified by the Gemological Institute of America.
Our Jewelry Barn is quite unique. The Jewelry Barn offers a wide variety of costume jewelry and high-end jewelry. We have a wide variety of engagement rings.
And located among cornfields on the eastern edge of Rushi, the Jewelry Barn is known as the Gem of Rushi.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. That's what our customers call us. It's a repeat business, and they come from all over. It's great.
The Jewelry Barn at 2399 Rushi Versailles Road.
Just a nice little shop.
Oh, Chuck, when the defense can help the offense out and put points on the board, that's a huge boost.
Well, they talked about wanting to turn it around. They were plus four in the turnovers last week, St. Mary's. Now they're plus one and got 7 points out of it.
Sidney will kick it off, as the Yellow Jackets did to start the game. Sidney racking up two touchdowns in this game in less than a minute. Officially, Chuck, that interception run to pay dirt.
43 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, that's semi-official.
Yeah, I hastily said 40. Might have been a few yards more than that, as you noted. Kickoff by Sidney is a tricky one. It's bouncing down inside the 35. Belle Fountain muffs it. Chieftains fall on it at the 31. First down, 10 yards to go. Well, Belle Fountain has started from the 35, 37, and now 31, trailing in this game 14-7 after scoring first. And we still have 2:56 to go here in the first quarter. Belle Fountain to the line of scrimmage. Quarterback takes the snap and rides the football into the belly of the ball carrier. Grant Smith gave it to Garrett Gross, and he trudges ahead for 3 or 4 to the 35. It will be second down and a little better than 6 to go for a first down for the Chieftains. Wide out to Brandon Hayes and Jack Clement. But judging from the pass two-thirds of the way across the field that Sidney picked off, the quarterback for Belle Fountain, Smith, may have a difficult time throwing it out wide tonight. He didn't have the arm strength on that first throw. Here is a running play by Belle Fountain. Over right tackle, ball carrier scoots to one knee, glides out to the 38. It'll be third and 4. The workhorse, Garrett Gross, again, 5'10", 195, a junior.
Well, what that lack of arm strength does for the two corners for Sidney is they don't have to worry about getting beat deep, because I don't think he can throw it to them. They can go ahead and really press the receiver.
Exactly. Yeah, the corners for Sidney can cheat a little bit. And here's a running play by Belle Fountain right up the gut. Good hole develops, and trudging through goes the ball carrier. It is Grant Smith, the quarterback, and he bounces ahead to the 45, over it to the 46, and that's a first down with a few yards to spare for the Chieftains. First and 10 beyond the 45. A minute 32 to go in the first quarter. 14-7, Sidney in the lead after spotting the Chieftains 7 points in the first 5 minutes. And here's a run around the left side by Garrett Gross. He's got some space. He puts his head down, bulldozes his way into a Sidney player, and pounds down to the 42-41 of the Yellow Jackets. Another first down. Chuck, last year in this game, the winning team scored better than 40, losing team over 30. And it looks like we're off to a running start again this season.
Yeah, we'll see. So far, neither defense has been outstanding.
Exactly. A minute 19 left opening quarter. 14-7 Sydney. Bill Fountain driving. It goes to Gross again. He bear hugs that football, and he pounds between left tackle and guard. He chugs to the 35. Second down and 5 or 6 to go for a first down for the Chieftains. A minute remaining in the first period. Over the ball at center, Hudson Hall for Bill Fountain. The guards are Jacob Kidwell and Micah Fogan. The tackles are Ryan Poole and Isaac Newman. And the ball carrier for Bill Fountain lugs it again between left tackle and guard. He churns to about the 33, 32, falls forward. He nets another first down for the visiting team.
Well, if they can stay ahead of the chains and not have any penalties, Sydney has not shown that they can stop this run so far.
Exactly. Yeah, Bill Fountain will be content to run it down just a score with obviously just over three quarters to play. And until Sydney gets a sizable enough lead, Bill Fountain will remain composed and churn the ball away on the turf as they do here on first and 10 from the 33 of Sydney. The running effort generates 5 to the 28. It'll be second down and about 6, call it a 4-yard gain, when the second quarter resumes action in just a few minutes. Final ticks on the clock, run down. We played one period here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. It is Sydney 14, Bill Fountain 7 on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambi Fertilizer and Seed, we have 3 retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There's actually 4 generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. And if you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in 6 West Central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, B-A-M-B-A-U-E-R, fertilizer.com.
It is a beautiful night for high school football on this Thursday from Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. I'm Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee here on scoresbroadcast.com. Sydney spotted Bill Fountain an early score in the first 5 minutes. Chieftains went up 7-0, and then Sydney retaliated with 2 touchdowns in the next little over 3 minutes. 1, a 43-yard interception return to the end zone. And again, Chuck, that play was turned in by the secondary player for Sydney.
Josiah Hudgens.
Josiah Hudgens picked it off at the 43, scooted down the near hash mark, cut it toward the sideline, wasn't touched as the throw from the Bill Fountain quarterback, Grant Smith, was telegraphed. And Hudgens did the rest. Sydney got some good quarterback play from Ryan Dunham in the Yellow Jackets' initial possession, which was an 80-yard touchdown march. And both PAT tries by Hallie Truesdale have been perfect right down the middle. Thus the 14-7 score, Sydney in the lead. But Bell Fountain is posing a threat now inside the Sydney 30 at the 28. As we start action here in quarter number 2, second down and 6 for Bell Fountain. In the spread, it is Grant Smith, the quarterback, 6'2", 200-pound junior for Bill Fountain. Alongside, he's got Garrett Gross, 2 receivers to the right. 1 throw already by the quarterback has been intercepted for a touchdown. And lugging the ball right up the middle with plenty of space is Garrett Gross. He carves out 5 yards, 10, make it 15 and more. He's finally nabbed from behind at the 15-yard line of Sydney. Offensive line for the Chieftains has excelled so far. Good job up front by the guards, Jacob Kidwell and Micah Fogan. and the center, Hudson Hall. First and 10, Bell Fountain, 15 of Sydney. Early on, second quarter. Here's the quarterback riding the belly of the ball carrier, and then he allows him to keep the leather. And it's the workhorse tailback, Gross again, nab from behind at the 11 or 12. Second down and 7 for Bell Fountain.
He did a nice job of getting anything. I thought he was going down in the backfield.
I did too. We've played a minute here in quarter number 2. Bell Fountain's driving to tie this game up. Down by a touchdown and an extra point. Here's the quarterback riding the football into the belly of the tailback, who spins to about the 9. That is going to set up third down and nearly 5 to go for a first down for the Chieftains. I'm going to guess, Chuck, that unless Bell Fountain were to lose yardage here, they're in four down territory.
And they're going to run the ball twice. If they don't get it here, they're going to run it again.
Yep. Two receivers to the left for the quarterback, Grant Smith. Gross alongside him. Oh, Smith keeps it, barges right up the gut between
wow.
left guard and tackle. Sydney can't get him down. 6-yard line, 4-yard line, 2-yard line. Goal to go for Bell Fountain.
This does not have a strong arm, but boy, he sure does run the ball hard.
Yeah, 6'2", 200-pounder, a junior. And that's the size of a lot of offensive running backs. Tailbacks have that kind of height and weight. And Grant Smith possesses those dimensions. He's now up under center, goal to go in the 2. He wants to forge straight ahead with the football. And before he can snap it, we've got a penalty against Sydney, I believe, for offside.
Yeah, but it's going to be a 1-yard penalty.
Yes. 10:04 left here in the second quarter of this game. Sydney leads Bell Fountain 14-7. Chieftains have scored in one of its 2 possessions already, trying to make it 2 out of 3. Just outside pay dirt, goal to go at the 1. First couple minutes, second quarter. Sydney up 7. Snap back to the QB, who meets no resistance. Grant Smith over left guard. He steps into the end zone for the touchdown as the Chieftains blew the Yellow Jackets off the ball at the line of scrimmage. And it's a 14-13 game. Last year, Sydney led Bell Fountain 14-7 at the half. And in the second half, the two teams racked up 8 touchdowns. 4 in the third quarter, 4 in the fourth. Sydney won the game 42-33. Here is the PAT try from Bell Fountain. The kick by Rob is away, and it looks good. It is good. Extra point try, but Derek Robb, a 5'11", 175-pound sophomore, is perfect, and the score is even. Sydney 14, Bell Fountain 14, 9:45 left until halftime on scoresbroadcast.com.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson athletic trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
It is a beautiful night for high school football on this Thursday. We expect another great night tomorrow night as Anna plays host to Brookville. We've got that game for you on scoresbroadcast.com, 7:05 webcast time, 7:30 kickoff from Anna, Brookville at Anna tomorrow night. We covered that game a year ago at Brookville when Anna, sporting a fine senior class, clobbered the Blue Devils. Both teams hit pretty hard at graduation. They unite again tomorrow. We've got coverage for you at 7:05 p.m. tomorrow night from Anna. Here's the ensuing kickoff by Bell Fountain after the Chieftains' touchdown. Run back by Sydney to the 26-yard line. First down, 10 yards to go for the Yellow Jackets. Well, Chuck, Bill Felton's had the ball three times, scored two touchdowns, and it would behoove Sidney to at least slot field position here because so far, with the exception of the poor throw and the interception, Bill Felton's run game looks like it's going to be difficult to stop.
They haven't stopped it yet. The only thing that stopped them was a penalty and an interception.
Yellow Jackets to the line of scrimmage. Ryan Dunham, 5'11", 182-pound junior at quarterback. Here is a delayed handoff deep in the offensive backfield to Darren Taborn, and he swerves around left end. He dodges tacklers, makes another man miss, charges over the 40, stays on his feet, 45-yard line to near the 50. He might have stepped out of bounds back inside the 45. Heck of a run, though, by the ball carrier, Darren Taborn of Sidney.
I like him with the ball. He is a threat to score from any place on the field because he is that quick.
Taborn, a six-footer, 170-pounder, just a junior. Saw a lot of action last year as a sophomore. And here's a sweep to the right. Sidney runs it for a pickup of one. Bill Fountain's all over it at the 43. Second and nine for Sidney from its own 43 with 9:12 to go in the second quarter. And we're tied at 14. Three receivers now. Trips to the left for the Yellow Jackets quarterback, Ryan Dunham. And Bill Fountain may have gotten a bit anxious up front. And that's a jump, an offside penalty against the Chieftains.
When you're the nose guard and you're right over the ball, absolutely no excuse. You're taught you don't move till the ball moves, and he's looking right at the ball.
Exactly.
That negated the defensive play that he just made on first down.
That's a free five for Sidney, second down and four from the Yellow Jackets, 48. And the QB, Ryan Dunham, the junior for Sidney, looks to the near sideline. He's got the play call, trips to the left. He wants to throw that way. It's a wide receiver screen at the 45. It's caught. The play generates a first down and a pickup of eight to the Bell Fountain 44. Catching the football was Taborn in the left flat behind a couple of blockers. First and 10, Sidney, 44-yard line. Chuck, I like that play because it's like a long handoff. It's safe.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I talked about before the game. You got all these athletes out on the perimeter. You need to get them the football.
Yep. 8:16 to go, second quarter. Sidney 14, Bell Fountain 14. Yellow Jackets to the line of scrimmage. Handoff, running play, up the gut. Caleb Harris bobs and weaves, ducks his head, chugs to the 39 of the Chieftains. Second down and four. Sidney to the line of scrimmage quickly again. Now four receivers are flanked, two each way. Lathan Jones split about 15 yards to the right. Man in motion across the formation, and he gets the handoff. It's a sweep around right end, and the ball carrier for Sidney breaks a tackle, breaks another one, and skirting the corner, 25-20. Bell Fountain in pursuit. Tackle finally made way down around the 15 or 16-yard line. Oh, that was a great run by Quimera Brown, a freshman, 5'9", 141-pounder. He was a number change from 13 to number 2, and he's got some flashy speed, Chuck. He made a few guys miss. He's a tough customer.
Yeah, he was actually stopped 5 yards in the backfield and got away from that, and he's got some quickness. You can see that already.
Goal to go, Sidney at the 15. Yellow Jackets have done a good job getting the football in the hands of a variety of playmakers so far. On this effort, it's Caleb Harris running between guard and tackle, and he spun down at the 13-yard line of the Chieftains.
Boy, that ball came out. From here, it looked like it came out before he hit the ground, but the referee has a better look at it than I do.
And you don't have stripes on.
Well, I'm underwear.
5 minutes gone here in the second quarter. Game tied at 14. Sidney threatening. Slot right, two receivers that way. Handoff right end. Ball carrier for Sidney breaks a tackle. Caleb Harris spins to the 7, to the 6-yard line. It's going to be 3rd and 1 or 2. So far, Chuck, neither squad's defense has a hint of an idea how to stop the other's offense.
I think Sydney's offense is going to take them a little bit. They were used to having, you know, Bowser, and they were used to having Gordon, and now they're making adjustments.
Yep.
And I think once they start gaining confidence in themselves and the system, they got some athletes. Absolutely got some athletes.
Couple receivers far left side. 3rd down, 2 yards to go for a 1st down. Here's a delayed handoff in the offensive backfield, and trying to get the corner turned is the ball carrier, E.J. Davis. He breaks a tackle at the point of attack, does knife across the line of scrimmage, doesn't make the end zone, but does produce enough yards for a 1st down at about the 3.
I like that play out of the Wildcat. I mean, they put him back there, gives you an extra blocker, and it's going to be a run all the way.
Goal-to-go situation for the quarterback for Sydney. Dunham, the QB, gives to the ball carrier, who lugs it to the line of scrimmage. It's Caleb Harris, and he's swarmed right there. Goal to go from the 3, 2nd down upcoming. 5:40 left to go here in the second quarter of this game. We're tied at 14. The Yellow Jackets look at the sidelines for the play call. They don't go to the huddle. They're back at the line of scrimmage. And a couple of men in motion. We've got a penalty marker on Sydney. That will cost the Yellow Jackets 5 and push the football back to near the 8.
Well, it's a good thing they got the penalty, because if not, they had a fumble.
Yeah, it was going to be an aborted play big time. 5:20 left to go here in the second quarter. Sydney 14, Bellefontaine 14. Yellow Jackets take a timeout on scorersbroadcast.com.
U.S. Bank offers easy person-to-person payments with Zelle. Person-to-person, like the sometimes fan to the super fan for that last-minute ticket to the game. Or the tailgate guest to the tailgate griller for the pregame grub. Pay whoever for whatever, whenever, with Zelle. It's free in the U.S. Bank mobile app. U.S. Bank, the power of possible. Available to United States Bank account holders only. Terms and conditions apply. The Zelle Network is property of Early Warning Services, LLC, U.S. Bank member FDIC.
U.S. Bank offers you 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District.
So many thanks here on scorersbroadcast.com to these underwriting sponsors, Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Generation after generation of great service. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Goffney Furniture in Sydney, go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. And thanks to Frisch's in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? And John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. John gives you his best shot. 2nd down, goal to go for Sydney from the Bellefontaine 8-yard line with 5:16 to go here in the second quarter. This game is all tied up at 14-14. Trips to the left for the quarterback for Sydney. It's Dunham at the helm. Man in motion is Taborn across the formation. Here's a toss sweep in the offensive backfield, and then it's a pass, a belated one, corner of the end zone. It's too high, no good.
I like the play. He was open.
He was.
The ball just was just a little bit overthrown.
Little razzle dazzle, Lathan Jones wound up with the football back between the 15 and 20. And he aired out the forward pass. Was that Darren Taborn, Chuck, number 4 in the corner of the end zone?
Yep, just a little over his head. That was a touchdown.
3rd and goal for Sydney. 8-yard line of Bellefontaine. Clock stopped, 5:09 to go, second quarter, 14-14 tie. Quarterback for Sydney in the pocket of the 15. Fires a bullet, middle of the field, at the goal line. The ball is popped way up in the air. Who's got it? Sydney with the catch at the 3. Wow, what a break for the Yellow Jackets. Could easily have been picked off. And Sydney's now got a goal to go. Fourth down, 3-yard line of the Chieftains.
That was Brian Jones, and that might have been his first reception of his career.
He'll take it. Boy, he was an alert offensive lineman on that play. Well done by Jones. 5'9", 271-pound sophomore offensive tackle who got the rebound on that forward pass that hit a receiver and a defender at the goal line. It was a bullet thrown by the QB of Sydney.
Yeah, not a good choice on the throw. That ball had absolutely no chance to get to the receiver.
It hit a couple of bodies like a brick wall at the goal line, shot up in the air, and fortunately, the offensive lineman for Sydney was ever alert, and he hauled it in at the 3, allowing Sydney's offensive unit another play here at the end of this possession. Is fourth down upcoming, 4:38 to go in the second quarter, and the game is tied at 14. All too often, Chuck, on a play like that, linemen are either on the ground, they've got their back turned to where the forward pass is supposed to go. That was an alert play by Sydney to make that catch on the rebound and save the possession. And the play garnered several yards. Goal to go now from the 3, and Sydney is going to try a field goal. Hallie Truesdale is on to boot it from the 10. This would be a 20-yarder pretty much straight away.
That's an extra point.
Yes, it's a good snap. The ball is spotted down on the field well, and the boot by Truesdale is perfect right down the middle. And you're right, Chuck, that was an extra point. Ball was right there on the 3. That was the line of scrimmage, and she made it look easy, as she's done throughout her career here at Sydney High School.
I like the call. I mean, I think if it's fourth and if they're at the 10 or the 15, I'm not sure you do that. But you just tell her, this is an extra point. Just go kick it. No more pressure than an extra point.
Exactly.
And she's got the leg.
Yeah, and you're playing for a 3-point lead.
Right.
A successful kick, and you've got the advantage. 17-14 Sydney, 4:35 left until halftime on scoresbroadcast.com.
Okay, what's the best way to eat the basket meals at Frisch's Big Boy? With your hands? A fork? Chopsticks? Who cares? It's basket time, and we're throwing the rules out the window. Within reason, of course. Try spicy buffalo bites or popcorn shrimp, both with crinkle-cut fries. Or Frisch's fish and chips with tartar sauce. Mmm, all served with a drink for just $6.99 each. Yeah, bring on the baskets. Limited time, only at participating Frisch's.
What's your favorite thing at Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney?
This is Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee here at Sydney High School's Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. We're just a little better than 4.5 minutes away from halftime. 31 points scored in this game already. Both Sydney and Bellefontaine vying for win number 1 on the year. Sydney having been drubbed last week to the tune of 35-7 by its opening game opponent, St. Mary's. Meanwhile, Bellefontaine was whipped at the hands of Wapakoneta 28-14, and the Yellow Jackets have a 3-point lead, 17-14, with 4.5 to go in the second quarter after having spotted the Chieftains an early 7. And Sydney kicks it off. It is Truesdale looping it down to the Bellefontaine 27, and the return up the far hash mark is over the 40 to the 42. Good field position for Bellefontaine, which has displayed a vaunted run game so far. Sydney needs better defensive production, Chuck, on first and second down to force Bellefontaine to consider a forward pass.
Yeah, the forward pass has not been pretty for Bellefontaine, so they need to make a stop here on first down, get them into a long chain, and then make them throw the football.
Yep. Bellefontaine in the road white, red sleeves, red and black headgear. Sydney, the home, black jerseys, black helmets, gold trim, white pants. Bellefontaine, as it's done all night long, runs it again. Right tackle, nothing doing. Sydney thwarts it, gain of 2, that's it. We near the 4-minute mark, second quarter of play. Bob Humble will be our halftime guest, the new superintendent of schools for Sydney. We enjoyed our chat with him. You'll hear the play of that interview at the halftime break. It runs about 12 minutes. Chieftains to the line of scrimmage, second down 8. Delayed handoff. Quarterback delivers to the ball carrier, who tries to swerve the corner. Sydney stretches it. Tackle made. Very little gain. Penalty against Bell Fountain.
I'm guessing it's a hold from where the flag came from.
Good pursuit to the near side by Darren Taborn of Sydney. He and Josiah Hudgens corralled that play. It didn't gain much. Chuck, I think if the penalty was a 5-yarder, you might decline it and force 3rd and 7. But well, it's a 10-yard hold, and Sydney accepts it. Good thinking on my part?
Yeah, I mean, but he did take the penalty. It would have made it 3rd and 9, so I don't know. I'm not sure what the thought process is.
2nd and 16 for Bell Fountain from the Chieftains 36. Here's a pass in the left flat. That's a safe throw, but Sydney's all over it. The receiver is belted hard out of bounds. Jack Clement caught it for Bell Fountain. He was racked up right now. Christian Rederer, 5'6", but 186 and a senior, made a hard hit.
He has such a strange release on the throw. He does not, he almost guides it out there, and it doesn't have much on it.
It's not real natural looking, that's
for
sure.
He's a big kid. You'd think he'd have a big arm.
3rd and 11 for Bell Fountain. Line of scrimmage, the Chieftains 41. 3:20 left to go here in the second quarter. Sydney leading 17-14. Two receivers to the right for the QB. He's going to run it right up the gut on 3rd and long. He squirms, churns, got to short of the 50, finally subdued. 4th and 4 for Bell Fountain. And it doesn't look like the Chieftains are going to punt the football, Chuck. This is one of those nights where both coaches think it's going to take over 30 points to win the game. Quarterback still on the field for Bell Fountain in the spread. 4th and 4 from the 49. 2:50 to go, 2nd quarter. Sydney up 3. Yellow Jackets almost jumped offside. Long cadence.
They're not going to snap it.
Nope. And I don't think the ball is ever going to come back from center Hudson Hall to QB Grant Smith.
Well, they almost got what they wanted, because when he put him in motion and he acted like he handed him the ball, which I think might be a penalty, but they didn't call it. Sydney's line did jump, but they didn't cross into the neutral zone. So it almost worked.
Yes, Sydney showed some good composure on that play, because you're right, Chuck, a penalty would have offset the 4 yards needed. It would have been a first down.
I don't think the quarterback's allowed to move like that without the football when they're in a set position.
I think you're exactly right, and I'll agree the official missed it, although Bell Fountain was forced to call a timeout thanks to good discipline from the Yellow Jackets, who will receive a punt with 2:45 to go in the second quarter, and Sydney leading by a 17-14 score. We'd like to thank these Rushi sponsors, the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, plus the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum. Gratitude to them, the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum as well, plus the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission. Vets helping vets get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. Excellent punt by Bill Fountain. Lights on the ground at the 24. It circles to the 21 and then right back to the 24 on the ground. And that's where Sydney's got the football, needing to negotiate 76 yards in 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And as soft as these two defenses have been, Chuck, Sydney can get that done. Plus the Yellow Jackets, as you note, have got 2 timeouts.
They got 2 left. It's kind of a coin toss. They get the ball to start it, so you don't want to make a mistake. They get the ball to start the 3rd quarter.
Yep, good observation there. 1, 2, 3 receivers to the far left. Handoff right at the gut, and Bell Fountain smothers it. No gain. Bell Fountain Chieftains defensive front all over that play before it got going. Jacob Kidwell stacked it up. Second down and 10. Kidwell, 6'1", 225, a junior, smothered that play. Bell Fountain with a substitution far side of the field, and the clock came to a stop. That's in Sydney's favor. 2:15 remaining, second quarter, 17-14, Yellow Jackets. Sydney all year long will feature three and four receivers, oftentimes four, with an empty backfield, as is displayed here. In fact, the Yellow Jackets have flanked five. A quintet.
That is spread offense right there.
Yep, three to the wide side, two to the short side of the field for Sydney. And the quarterback with the long cadence is Ryan Dunham, 5'11", 182-pound junior. Deep drop by him. Then he runs forward and makes a nice little pitch up ahead to the receiver. Well done. Nice catch at the 32. Then to the 35 and 40 goes Darren Taborn. Good scoot after the reception. Boy, I like that play. It's a safe one, Chuck.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a run-pass option because I didn't think they were going to throw it deep, and it looked like they set up a quarterback run with that option, and that option opened up for them.
First and 10, Sydney at the 41 of the Yellow Jackets. Here's a deep drop of the quarterback who is in hot water. And happy feet from the QB, Ryan Dunham, nowhere to go, and he's sacked back at the 35. A minute 36 to go in the second quarter. Sydney leads by three, 17-14. But now the Yellow Jackets are pinned at their own 35-yard line. Second down, 15 coming up. Two timeouts left for Sydney, one for Bell Fountain. Don't forget Bob Humble, superintendent.
Oh, that's a hold.
Sydney Schools, our guest here at the half. Stay tuned for him. Offensive holding on a Sydney rollout to the left that results in a running play and a near sack out of bounds at the 26. It does wind up being a tackle for a loss as the quarterback for the Yellow Jackets simply scampered to the far side, ran out of real estate. Holding penalty on Sydney declined. Chieftains take the loss, and it's third down now and a boatload of yards to go.
Yeah, that was a 10-yard loss, so there's no reason to take the penalty.
Sydney needs 25 for a first down. A minute six left in the second quarter. Sydney up by three, 17-14.
Well, Bell Fountain will let them run this. If they don't get a first down on it, they'll call their last timeout. Give themselves a little bit of chance here.
Exactly. Yeah, Chieftains would like to get their hands on a punt and then maybe four or five plays from scrimmage late in this second quarter. Here's a fake sweep and a keep right up the middle by the ball carrier for the Yellow Jackets. It's the quarterback who sprints for a burst of 17, still about eight short of a first down. I may have misspoke, Chuck. It was maybe a wildcat look, E.J. Davis.
Yeah, that was Davis again. I'll tell you what, that's been real effective.
Well, Bell Fountain's going to get the ball back within the vicinity of 50 seconds to go in the second quarter because Sydney confronts a fourth and nine from the Yellow Jackets, 42.5.
Well, that was a big play, though, because it got them deeper up the field. They're gonna have Bell Fountain down around, you assume, with a normal punt around the 25 or 30 instead of maybe closer to the 45 or 50.
Exactly. That running effort on third down was a wise play. Not sure if it was designed as a run in the huddle. May very well have been.
I don't think, when you got 24 taking the snap, it's a run. He's not going to throw it.
And that was a good maneuver because it did enable Sydney to get far better field position. Now the Yellow Jackets will stand a punter back in the area of the 30, and Bill Fountain will be hard-pressed to get the ball beyond its own 30 or 35, and the Chieftains will have only about three-quarters of a minute with which to work in the waning seconds of the second quarter. And as Chuck points out, no timeouts remaining. They're gone. C. So the Yellow Jackets are in punt formation. And the ball will be booted from around the 30-yard line. Bill Fountain's got one deep man back at his own 28. And here is the kick away by Sydney. And it's angled to the boundary, so it could not be returned. And it is out of bounds inside the 40-yard line. Bill Fountain starts first and 10 with 51.5 to go here in the second quarter. New line of scrimmage is the 25 or 26 of the Chieftains. Three-point lead, Sydney, 17-14, after the Yellow Jackets spotted the Chieftains 7 points in the game's first 5 minutes. Well, this series right here may test the arm strength of the Bell Fountain quarterback, Grant Smith, who's looked uncomfortable when he's pitched it so far. And he's uncomfortable here on a first down play, takes the snap in the spread, wants to throw it right away, doesn't, hesitates. Then he delivers it to a back out of the backfield behind the line of scrimmage, and he's smothered for a loss of four.
If they don't figure out a way to throw the football, it's going to be a long season for them because they run the ball well, but you're not going to live on that all season.
Exactly, and if Sydney could somehow forge a two-score lead in this game, the Yellow Jackets would have the Chieftains in trouble because clearly Bell Fountain is uncomfortable throwing it. And here's a quarterback draw by the QB, Grant Smith. He chugs back up the middle with 10 seconds to go in the second quarter and scraps his way over the 25 to the 27, and that will do it. Nice comeback by Sydney, which spotted Bill Fountain an early seven in the first 5 minutes of the opening quarter. Sydney answered with two touchdowns and a field goal, a 43-yard interception run to the end zone, a nice 20-yard field goal boot by Truesdale. And Sydney, as a result, has a 17-14 lead over the Chieftains. And our halftime is coming up, and during which we will hear from the superintendent of schools here in Sydney. He'll be on for 11 to 12 minutes coming up shortly after Chuck's halftime report. 17-14 Yellow Jackets over the Chieftains. Many thanks to our great underwriting sponsors, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in its Western Ohio district, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around. Also, gratitude to Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anna, which has grown now to include 8 expanding divisions. The Jewelry Barn in Rushi. Let's make your gift ideas come to life with the help of the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, Ohio. The Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi. Thanks to them. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. Go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Brookins Restaurant in Fort Loramie. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie. Clancy's in Sydney. Nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Goffney Furniture in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney Furniture, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Frisch's in Sydney. Troy and Tip City, what's your favorite thing at Frisch's? And the in-between, south of Butkins, where the food's not in-between, it's out of this world. We'll take a look at halftime statistics when we return. It is Sydney over Bell Fountain, 17-14, after two quarters of play on scores, broadcast.com.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge, and that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice, and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass. AAGIncOH.com.
Well, we've got both bands participating here in our halftime break at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Excellent crowd on hand for this Thursday night high school tilt here in Sydney. Good throng across the way from Bell Fountain. It's a spread out contingent all the way from one 10-yard line to the other. And a good throng down below representing Sydney in the Yellow Jackets home opener on this Thursday evening, as the Chieftains band strikes up down below. Chuck, let's take a look at our halftime stats, our report here at intermission.
Well, if you look at these, the stats are pretty close, just like the score. Sydney ran the ball 18 times for 73 yards. They were 5 of 6 throwing it for 75. The only incompletion was on a halfback pass off a reverse, and it was about 2 feet from being a touchdown. They have 148 total yards. Bell Fountain ran the ball 27 times for 158 yards. They were 2 of 3 passing for a yard, 159 total yards. Each team has 8 first downs. Each team has 3 penalties. Sydney 3 for 11. Bell Fountain 3 for 20. The turnover, Sydney has not turned it once. Bell Fountain did turn it the one time, and they turned it into a Hudgens 43-yard interception for a touchdown, and that right now is the difference in the football game.
Wilson Health Sports Medicine brings you our halftime report. Chuck, after spotting Bell Fountain, a quick 7, Sydney clearly outplayed the Chieftains the last quarter and a half of that first half.
Well, yeah, they did a good job because they gave up 107 yards rushing in the first quarter.
Right.
And then they held them to 51, got the interception, which took them away from having the ball. And Sydney threw the ball well. I'm seeing some flashes of a team that could be a contender before the season's over.
And I like the response here tonight, Chuck, by Sydney after a 5-turnover game in the opener last week against St. Mary's. Fine response here tonight. Sydney has rebounded extremely nicely after losing 35-7 at St. Mary's 1 week ago. And this has got to please head coach Adam Dungis and his staff.
Well, E.J. Davis, we did talk about him before the game because we really didn't know anything about him. He's a 5'10", 170-pound freshman running out of the Wildcat, and he's had 3 real nice runs, kept drives going each time. And Darren Taborn doing a good job on the outside, but he moved back there and ran the ball some. He's a threat also. I've been real impressed. And Ryan Dunham, throwing the ball well, taking care of the football.
Yep.
They've got some weapons out there, and their defense has to know. You might as well put 9 guys up there within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, because if they don't run it, your corners can stop their receivers.
And you can bet that is one of the Sydney coaching staff messages in the locker room during the halftime break.
Yeah, they probably don't need my help.
Love Sydney's variety on offense, Chuck. I don't think we saw the same play twice in a row by the Yellow Jackets in the first half, who have really mixed it up offensively.
Well, last year they had 2 plays. They had Gordon taking the snap and normally running it, and then they had give the ball to Bowser. Those were 2 outstanding options, so I'm not knocking that.
Right.
This year they're going to be more diverse, and I think that's going to be a difference.
Oh, yeah, they will be more diverse, no question about it. This is a changing of the guard Sydney football season, and in the home opener here on this Thursday night, Sydney looking mighty good. We've just taken a peek at some official stats here at the half. Total yards, both teams combining for about 300, split virtually right down the middle.
Yeah, I mean, it is both teams move the ball well, and the field goal is a difference right now, 17-14.
Mm-hmm. And to give the Yellow Jackets credit, head coach Adam Dungis, I thought, made a very good decision. He had an extra point length field goal. Ball was at the 3, fourth down. And in Truesdale, he's got a fine kicker. She smacked it through.
She has a good leg. I mean, I'm telling you what, her extra points in that field goal are right down the middle.
Yep.
And then there's nothing. There is. Last year, I think we saw maybe the worst kicking, and I don't mean Sydney, but I mean as all the teams we watch, the extra points and the kicking games were just not very good. So far this year, we've seen two games, and kicking has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I'd agree. Last year, sloppy, inefficient kicking games, not sharp, and that'll turn around this year, as we've seen already. 17-14. It is Sydney with a three-point lead over Bell Fountain here at the half. Our halftime report brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney on scoresbroadcast.com.
Here's another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story. Sydney High School guard Ashley Egan recovered to top form after tearing her ACL in January 2014.
It was Ashley's birthday, in fact, and the Sydney girls were playing Houston. And Ashley injured her knee cutting to the basket. She just crumbled to the floor.
But Ashley's mother, Kathy, said Wilson Health athletic trainer Beth Danklifson was courtside and came to the rescue.
She was so helpful, so caring, and encouraging. Wilson Health Sports Medicine gave us peace of mind. We knew we were in good hands.
In 2 weeks, Dr. Matthew Heckler, Wilson Health Sports Medicine orthopedic surgeon, performed successful surgery.
Therapy began several days later, and Ashley enjoyed both soccer and basketball her junior and senior years.
And Ashley's Yellow Jackets hoops team won 24 straight games. For information about Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, go to wilsonhealth.org and click on services.
We are so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Jack Kramer, Chuck McBee here on scoresbroadcast.com. Halftime, Sydney 17 and Bell Fountain 14. Had the real pleasure earlier this week of talking to the new Sydney Schools superintendent, Bob Humble. Pleasure to speak to him. And he offered details to me about his background. He's a man of many interests, and he's been in the music arena, Chuck, in education. He's had jobs at various levels, and he is a great addition to the Sydney Schools program, the new superintendent, Robert Humble, and he talks about his background here on scoresbroadcast.com.
I've spent the last 10 years as superintendent of Fairbanks Local Schools over in Milford Center, Ohio, just outside of Marysville in Union County. And had a wonderful time there. Did some amazing academic things there. And look forward to doing those same kinds of things here at Sydney.
Sure.
And before that I was did a personnel and curriculum for a couple years. I've been a high school principal, I've been a middle school principal. I've taught in the elementary schools as a music teacher. I've done band.
Wow.
Like you, Jack, I've been a sports official up until this past year. I finally retired. I did football for 27 years.
Wow, that's great.
Did baseball for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I've also done a stint doing security for the Reds and the Bengals for 7 seasons. So I've kind of been around.
Bob, tell me about the family, adult children, and where are they now?
Okay. So my wife actually got hired here at Sydney before I became superintendent, about a month before I became superintendent. She applied for a job here, and they loved her and hired her, and she's an outstanding teacher. That's where we met. When I was teaching elementary general music, met her in the district that we were both teaching in at the time.
Interesting.
And so... We have an older son that is in the Air Force. He's a tech sergeant, has a wife and 3 kids. So we have 3 grandchildren with him.
Outstanding.
And then we have a younger son who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and just has a nine-month-old. and he's married, and so we have four grandchildren, and they're just great kids, and it's great to have grandkids. So
it sounds like you've got some traveling in store for you.
Yeah, we travel a lot. We try to get down and see the youngest. We try to get down and see him a little more often than we can with the oldest. The oldest lives in Shreveport, Louisiana, where he's stationed, and so it's harder to get down to see them. But they actually came up this summer. We have a little vacation house up at Indian Lake, so they came up and spent a week with us up there. Actually, it was 9 days. It was great. Had a wonderful time. And then the youngest just took a new job. Ty just took a new job. He's an auto tech for the largest BMW dealership in Charlotte. So, so he's doing real well, and we're excited. So we try to get down and see them. It's about an eight-hour drive, so we can get down and see him a little more often.
Bob Humble, the new superintendent of Sydney City Schools, our guest here at the half of Sydney Bellefontaine Football here on scoresbroadcast.com. Bob, what interested you most in coming to Sydney to be superintendent? What excites you about this school district?
You know, the biggest reason why I looked at Sydney was because of the completely It's completely different than from anything I've done before. So it's got a lot of diversity. It's got a lot of exciting things happen. It's a much larger district. It's more than three times larger than my previous district. So it really kind of made me want to expand my knowledge and being able to be out in working with different kinds of kids, teachers, and the community. The community is, there's a lot of rich tradition here in Sydney, and it really kind of drew me towards it. I like the fact that the security measures that they have here, those are the kinds of things that, you know, I think we need to be doing to protect our kids. And so, you know, I've seen Sydney on the news a lot, and I appreciate the things that they've done here.
So much of a role as the chief executive of a school district relies on networking, communication, partnerships, relationships, and you've been very active in the community getting to know people.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You know, I've been out and I've met with the sheriff, I met with the police chief, I've met with the mayor, I've met with several business leaders. I still have a lot of people on my schedule to continue to meet, and I've met with the principal of Holy Angels. I've met with the new head of schools at the Christian Academy. It's about developing relationships and partnerships, exactly what you said. Several business leaders, Mick over at Ferguson Construction, Mickey at Cargill, you know, those are folks I've already met and talked with, want to be good partners with. The Chamber, Jeff Rabel, I've met with him, and it's important for them to know that we want to be good neighbors, good partners, and that we're all working together.
And, you know, I can tell that based on your activity on social media, you are an extremely student-oriented superintendent, and that's great.
You know, the thing about me is you'll find that I constantly say, whatever decision we make, it needs to be about what's best for kids. I'd love to be involved with the kids. I love to be talking to them. I love talking back and forth with them on social media. Last couple days especially, I've had a great time talking back and forth with the kids. I was at the soccer game last night, and a kid named Nick came up and fist bumped me and sat down next to me and started talking to me. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter, and I really just like doing that, and the kids enjoy it, and I definitely want to be involved.
Hey, I heard you riled up the crowd last night and got the cheering section in even better spirits.
You know, the jacket pack was sitting there not really doing, not really cheering like they should, and I riled them up a little bit, and then they got going, and they did a fine job the rest of the night, and then had a bunch of kids come over and join them, so they went from about six or seven to about 20, and then they really riled them up.
Oh, good for you. Had a conversation with Adam Dungis, head football coach, this week, and he mentioned to me, Bob has come down the hall and poked his head in my classroom three times already this young school year. It is so enjoyable to feel wanted. And I'm sure all the teachers and the entire staff are appreciative of the fact that you make sure that their contributions are significant.
You know, that's what's so important to me is to be able to be out, be in the classrooms, be in the hallways. Mm-hmm. The first two or three days, I was in every classroom. I shook every hand I could possibly shake, met every person I could possibly meet. And I've now been in all the buildings at least three times in the first, you know, two full weeks of school. Mm-hmm. And walked by and said hi to people, and not just the teachers, but the custodians and the cafeteria workers. I think it's so important to get to know those folks. You know, our buildings are old, our elementaries are old, our high school is old, but I'll tell you what, they look fantastic on the inside because we have such a great maintenance and custodial team. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how everyone really cares about what they're doing.
Extremely well-kept facilities for sure. Important date coming up, first Tuesday of November. Talk about the levy.
So we do have a renewal levy that's coming up on the ballot in November. It's extremely important. This is a straight renewal. It's no new taxes. It generates $4.5 million a year towards the things that we do here for our operating at Sydney. Without that money, I couldn't even begin to describe the devastation the district would look like without that money. Mm-hmm. Again, we're not asking for any additional money at this point. We're just making sure that we maintain. And it's so important that folks get registered to vote, get out there and vote, and help us pass this. Because, like I said, it would be beyond devastation what this district would look like without it.
Bob Humble, new superintendent, Sydney City Schools, our guest here at the half of Sydney Bell Fountain Football. You're so excited about working with this board. You're pleased with this board of directors for Sydney City Schools. You've really enjoyed participating with them in the early start here of the new school year.
You know, I've had a great time getting to know the board members. I've was going through the hiring process was wonderful, but my individual meetings, I had individual meetings with every one of them to just try to get to know them. Mm-hmm. These are five great people that really, really care about the school district, and I can't I can't say enough good about them as how much they really care about what we're doing here, and they're good people, and I'm really looking forward to working with them.
Is it too soon to comment on what new initiatives you might be considering around the corner?
You know, at this point, when coming into a new district or a new building, I really like to try to get to know what's already happening.
Yep.
I'm not looking to upset the apple cart. I want to see what the things that are working we continue to do. Just like any district, I mean, every district has to change a little bit all the time, mm-hmm. but it's a matter of learning what's working, what's not working.
Right.
And so we're going to spend this year reviewing and looking at the things that we are doing and reviewing our data. I'm a big data person. I like to look back and see, okay, if we're doing this, how's it affecting this? Is it making any change? And if it's not, then we need to look at doing something different.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's what we'll be doing this next year, is just kind of getting to know how everything is working and looking at the data and see, okay, what have we done in the past? Is it working? Is it not? You know, student achievement is very high on my list, but we need to make sure that we're doing the right things for those students to achieve.
Hey, you're a man of humility. You've got a great last name to be a fine superintendent.
That's funny, yeah.
Bob Humble, and that's a key trait for your position.
Well, you know, I think that you have to you have to be open to new ideas, and you have
sure.
to be willing to do what's necessary, and I'll do whatever it takes. So, yeah, I've heard that a few times with my last name, but it's fun. I like. Most people don't spell it right the first time. I always say my name, and then I always spell it because it's funny. It's such an easy name to spell, and yeah. no one ever gets it right the first time.
The word humble fits the man. Robert Bob Humble, new superintendent, Sydney City Schools. Enjoyed chatting with him. He was on TV earlier tonight, I think before the start of this game, maybe appeared on TV during the telecast itself. We talked to him earlier in the week and just shared with you that interview. here at the halftime break of tonight's game between Sidney and Bellefontaine. The Yellow Jackets home opener, 17-14, Sidney in the lead, and we're just a minute and a half or so away from the start of our third quarter. Say, some of you may have heard of Brookins. I'm sure a lot of you have, and a few of you may not have heard of Brookins in Fort Loramie. It's been a fixture there in Fort Loramie since the late 1800s, way back when mules still pulled canal boats down the Miami Erie Canal. Brookins has many old local pictures hanging on its walls right beside the current ones of sports teams right there in the Brookins restaurant in Fort Loramie. Well, nowadays, Brookins is the place to be for enjoying some roasted chicken dinners, plus many specialty sandwiches, pizza, and the pork chop special on Saturday nights. Carl Arnes is the new man in charge at Brookins, and you'll love the place every bit as before when Dale and Joyce Barhorse ran Brookins for the previous 12 years. Your food is always cooked fresh. You sit back, you relax, enjoy an appetizer. Brookins has been outstanding in the Upper Miami Valley, highly respected restaurant. The Barhorse and now Carl Arnes put their heart and soul into creating a fun, family-friendly atmosphere. It's the ideal space to reserve for family gatherings, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60, and the spacious second floor is open, too. Don't forget, that's Brookins, B-R-U-C-K-E-N-S, in Fort Loramie, with over a century of rich history and plenty of roasted chicken and Brookins burgers to go around. There is no place like Brookins, 10 Elm Street in Fort Loramie, on the web at Brookins, BRUCKENS-USA.com. For the Sidney Yellow Jackets, sporting a 17-14 lead as we start the third quarter, return the second half kickoff to the 30. First and 10, Sidney. An opportunity check to go up, but two scores with the initial possession here in the second half.
Well, you talked about it at halftime. I think if Sidney can get a two-score lead, Bellefontaine doesn't look like they have the type of offense that's going to come back from very far behind.
Nope. No question about it. That would really put the pressure on the Chieftains. Should Sidney get a two-touchdown advantage or a two-score edge entering the fourth quarter of this game? Here's a deep handoff in the offensive backfield by Sidney as we start the third quarter with a running play, and the ball carrier trying to get to the edge is spilled right at the 31. That was Caleb Harris, and he was cut down. No gain. Second down and just under 10 to go for a first down. Opening seconds, third quarter, Sidney 17, Bellefontaine 14. Here's a little bubble screen, left flat, caught behind the line of scrimmage. Then a nifty run after catch for about a dozen, and a first down to the 42.
That's the first time Roberts has touched the ball tonight. That's what he's capable of right there.
Oh, yeah. He's been a marked man. White shirts from Bellefontaine have been spotting him. They've been glued on Rotez Roberts, who got free on that play. And you can bet getting the ball to Rotez was part of the halftime discussion in the locker room among the Sidney coaches.
Well, we got Davis back there. He's going to take the direct snap now, so look for some type of a run.
Line of scrimmage, the Sidney 42. And it's a sweep to the right, way back behind the line of scrimmage. Bellefontaine smells it out and drops it for a 7 or 8 yard loss. Well, that was Darren Taborn. And it was smelled out beautifully by Bellefontaine. Ethan Moore came up to saddle the ball carrier for a huge setback. Second down and 17 now for Sidney at the Yellow Jackets 35. 90 seconds gone here in the second half, with Sidney leading 17-14. Trips to the left. Ball looped into the flat to a wide open receiver 5 yards downfield, and he runs for seven more after the catch. Chuck, that's a good way to get back a chunk of that 16.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know. He had three people out there in front of him. None of them were defenders. I don't know where the defense went that time, but he sure got, he was sure wide open.
So it's third down for Sydney and close to 6 yards to go for a first down at the Sydney 46. Passing play, no doubt, in order here. This a possession down, 4 yards short of the 50. 2 minutes gone in the third quarter. Sydney up by 3 over Bell Fountain. Good scoop of the snap on the ground by the quarterback, who rifles a pass down the left side of the field, complete to the Chieftains 45. Tackle made. Play good for nearly 10 and a first down.
Well, they had everything on this side of the field. Roberts one-on-one out there, and that defender doesn't have a prayer, because if he does steps up on him, Roberts is going to leave him.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got to play off of him, and that play was wide open.
If you guard Rottez snugly, he'll speed past you. First and 10, Sydney converting third down on the pass play. Line of scrimmage, the 46. Huge hole right up the middle. Running play, Yellow Jackets. It's Caleb Harris. Look at him go. Left hash mark, 35-30. Finally toppled way down inside the 15. Boy, the offensive line, Chuck, is coming of age very quickly here tonight in this game.
Boy, that was you could have driven a truck through that hole.
Give all kinds of credit to Vanderpool and Collinsworth, the guards. Sanders and Brandeberry, the tackles. Here is a running play to the right by Sydney. Pursuing is Bill Fountain, but the Chieftains are not quick enough. It's going to be run into the end zone for a touchdown.
Boy, that wild card is just killing Bell Fountain.
23-yard scamper to the end zone. Direct snap, Chuck, to a Yellow Jacket.
E.J. Davis again.
E.J. Davis.
Boy, is he fast.
Uh-huh. And he ran like a wildcat.
He was around that corner before they even knew he had the ball.
Like a scared wildcat. He took it to the house from better than 20 yards out.
That kid's a freshman, and then we saw Brown, who's a freshman. We only saw him touch it once. But there is some absolute quickness back there in those two young men.
Speed to burn for Sydney, which is up now 23-14. Here's the extra point try by Truesdale. She's been excellent tonight so far. Three conversions on points after touchdowns, plus a field goal, and Sydney leads it by 10. 24-14, Yellow Jackets, 9:15 to go in the third on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
The Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store, one of our fine underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. Thanks so much to Goffney. On the web with us each and every game here on scoresbroadcast.com, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. We've got just under 3 minutes gone here in the third quarter, and Sydney has struck quickly. So far, Chuck, we've seen very little from this Bell Fountain Chieftains defense, which can't slow Sydney down.
Well, he was 3 for 3 on that drive for 29 yards. And the only incompletion, he is actually 8 for 8. The incompletion was thrown on a halfback pass. So he's hit all of his passes. I've been real impressed with the young man.
What a turnaround by Sydney, which turned it over 5 times last week in losing to St. Mary's 35-7. Kickoff of the Yellow Jackets is a pop-up flying down to the 29. Bell Fountain returns it to the 43. Chieftains have had good field position all night long.
Well, they are living on running the ball. And so far, if they run it without any mistakes, like a penalty, they've scored. But when they do something that gets them back behind the sticks, where it's a second or third and seven or eight, now they're in trouble because they cannot throw the basketball. I'm ahead of myself. They can't throw the football. We'll see if they can throw the basketball later.
This is a key early second half possession for Bell Fountain, the Chieftains' first one in the second half, because for the first time tonight, Bell Fountain is behind by two scores. And the Chieftains run it right up the middle, and the ball carrier breaks loose. He's the workhorse. He's into the secondary, and he's got nearly 20, all the way down to the Sydney 38. This Garrett Gross is a tough customer, Chuck.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if they run the ball and they don't lose yardage on a penalty, City has not stopped their rush tonight.
Exactly. Chieftains to the line of scrimmage. Grant Smith, 6'2", 200-pound junior, calling signals. And there he goes. No, he faked it to the ball carrier, kept it. Right up the gut goes the QB, and he chews up about 8 or 9 yards. That's a good 1-2 punch on the ground for Bell Fountain.
Well, they're both big kids.
So going for nearly 20 was Garrett Gross. Then Grant Smith followed up with 9. Second and 1, Chieftains at the Yellow Jackets 29. With 4 minutes gone here in the third quarter, Sydney up at 10. The tailback gets the nod. Boy, he won't go down. Stays on his feet. And he chugs for the first down, drags a few with him inside the 25. First down, Chieftains, 23 of Sydney. And Chuck, let's keep an eye on Sydney's defense. It is not a big defense in terms of size. And sooner or later, the Yellow Jackets, Chuck, will have to put about 9 guys in the box, you'd think.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. And right now, they got 10 guys within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage.
They sure do, yep. And here's a run right up the middle, and it's a good effort. Key blocks in the middle. And the ball carrier kept it. It was the QB on the ground. He chugged for 6, nearly 7, to the Sydney 16.
He does a nice job of reading. He holds it long enough to see where the defense is, and he does a nice job of reading, either giving it up or running it himself.
Sure does. This Grant Smith for Bell Fountain, the signal caller, the quarterback, has run the show extremely well. Obviously, throwing the football is a weakness, and Bell Fountain is trying to get on the board here and match Sydney's early third quarter touchdown and make it a one-score game again. Second down and 3, Bell Fountain. And here's a counter back to the right. And the ball carrier is Garrett Gross, who hammers to the 12, maybe the 11. He's got the first down. Ryan Cagle put a blow on him, but not before. The first down was garnered. New line of scrimmage, the 12. We played 5 minutes here in the third quarter. Sydney 24, Bell Fountain 14. But the Chieftains are threatening. Receivers left and right. Another receiver split 5 yards to the left. It's a straight keeper by the quarterback right up the gut, and he barrels all the way down to the 5, maybe the 4. Second and 1 coming up. Well, the Yellow Jackets gave up 400-plus yards to St. Mary's last week. And Bell Fountain's offense not getting slowed down tonight either. It is second down, about 3 to go for a first down outside the 5. Bell Fountain runs it for the first down inside the 2 to the 1.5. The play went right up the middle. Goal to go, Bell Fountain. And the Chieftains are on the verge of making this a one-score game again.
Well, both teams are on the way to each one having 20 first downs for the game.
Right up under center now is the Chieftains quarterback. He doesn't budge.
Jeez.
Over center. Then he slides outside tackle and angles into the end zone. Touchdown, for Bell Fountain, which has made this a 24-20 game.
Well, we've talked about even the good Sydney teams the last couple of years. We've talked about their defensive struggles, and they struggle again stopping the run tonight, at least.
Derek Robb, 5'11", 175-pound sophomore, is on to try the extra point and cut the Sydney lead to three, and he does. And to Bell Fountain's credit, the Chieftains answer a Sydney touchdown drive to start the third quarter. Bell Fountains rack up one of their own to make it a three-point game again. It was 17-14 at the half. It's 24-21 Sydney halfway through the third quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
Upcoming kickoff here by Bell Fountain, which has cut Sydney's 10-point lead to three. 5 minutes, 57 seconds remaining here in the third quarter. Sydney needs good field position after this kickoff. Bell Fountain's had fine field position all night long. Neither team has really stopped the other. Bell Fountain stopped itself in the middle of the first half with a bad pass, which was picked off and run to the end zone for a Sydney touchdown. Here's a kickoff return running wide to the near side into the Sydney bench, and out of bounds goes Darren Taborn short of the 30-yard line, and that's where the Yellow Jackets start first down and 10 yards to go. There is a marker down near midfield.
Yeah, it's about 30 yards away from the play, so I'm not sure what that could be. Normally a hold.
Well, if it's against the Yellow Jackets, and it looks like it might be, Sydney will retreat back inside its 20. It's ruled a block in the back.
And like I said, it occurred at the Yellow Jackets 47-yard line, so I'm not sure why anybody was blocking anybody in the back at that point.
Nope, had no outcome on the play at that spot on the field for sure. 5 minutes and 49 seconds left here in the third quarter. Sydney Yellow Jackets 24, Bell Fountain Chieftains 21. Here at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. Thursday night high school football. We've got Anna at home tomorrow night against Brookville here on scoresbroadcast.com. Eight guys in the box for Bell Fountain, which pursues a running play. Sydney tries to work it outside left tackle, and the Yellow Jackets scramble for six to the 26.
Missed a face mask there on the tackle.
It did look like that the ball carrier was yanked down. He was hunched over, and then, boy, his head dropped the last 3 or 4 feet pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Second and three, Sydney at the Yellow Jackets 26. We near the five-minute mark here in the third quarter. Sydney up three. Man in motion gets the handoff. Running near side, there's a block. Ball carrier belted down at the 33, but he's got the first down.
That was Brown, who's trying to confuse us by wearing his third number of the night.
Yeah, Brown, just a freshman, 5'9", 141-pounder, was listed originally as number 13, then was wearing number 2 at the start of the game, and now he's got number 1 on his back. First and 10, Sydney, 33 of the Yellow Jackets. Under 5 to go now in the third quarter. Man in motion across the formation. Fake handoff. Here's a long fly pattern. Right side of the field. Down the sideline.
Wow.
It is no good for Lathan Jones. He was out in front of everybody.
Put that on his hands, and that's a touchdown.
That was a spiral thrown by the quarterback for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. Dunham led him just a foot and a half too far.
That was his first miss of the night.
He's had a stellar game at quarterback, has Dunham. And he nor any of the Yellow Jackets were really very sharp last week in the road game opener against St. Mary's. Here's a power sweep to the left. Caleb Harris tries to get the corner turned, and it's strung out nicely by Bell Fountain, which makes the gang tackle at the 33. Third and 10 coming up. The Jewelry Barn in Rushi, one of our fine underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. You can tell Jolene Renderly you heard all about her store, the Jewelry Barn, right here on scoresbroadcast.com. Possession play, Yellow Jackets. Rolling right to quarterback, looking, fly pattern down the near side. The ball is heaved that direction. Looked like a push off by Sydney. The catch is made at the 24-yard line. No foul called. It's ruled a clean reception. Oh, Chuck, I thought Lathan Jones got away with one at about the 25-yard line. It was a heady play by him. He used his right arm to give separation between himself and the defender, then leaped to catch the ball, and he traveled 10 more yards downfield. That was a huge third and 10 completion. Well done, Dunham to Jones. And we've got Sydney running the Wildcat here. In the offensive backfield is the ball carrier who lost the football briefly, got it back.
That was Davis, and Davis is the one that threw that last pass. They ran that out of the Wildcat.
So E.J. Davis on a beautiful thrown ball to generate, Chuck, on the previous play, what, 50 yards?
50 yards.
Yep, that's what I thought. 3:23 to go in the third quarter, 24-21, Sydney over Bell Fountain. Yellow Jackets have a second and 11 after the aborted play previous. Oh, here comes a blitz by Bell Fountain, and the quarterback runs out of trouble. Look at him go, 20-15. He's being pursued by the Chieftains, who topple him at the 11. Well done, though, on that play by Ryan Dunham. He felt pressure, he sensed it, and he took off, Chuck, in the nick of time to set
Showed
up.
Some wheels, too.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah. He was almost kicking up dirt on the artificial
turf. On an artificial turf. That's impressive.
Third and 5 for Sydney, which has already kicked a field goal tonight. It came late in the second quarter of play to lift Sydney to a 17-14 halftime lead. Here's the snap back. Quarterback is way back at the 20. Wide receiver open near the pylon, far side. It's overthrown.
Well, they went to the well once too often. Yeah. Again, that was Davis. And he had a guy wide open and threw it about 8 feet over his head.
Yep, E.J. Davis out of the Wildcat had to scramble because the hot receiver was well covered near pylon down to her right. Flag was thrown. Now it's picked up by one official. Let's see what ensues. Ineligible receiver. Is that a loss of down, Chuck?
No. So it's going to be they have to decline it'll be fourth down.
Yes, you're right. Declined the penalty, did Bell Fountain. Fourth and 5 for Sydney. Line of scrimmage, the 14, and that may be Truesdale on again. I'm not sure.
No, I think that's going to be a little, that'd be 20, that'd be 30-yard field goal. That might be a little out of her range.
Yeah, I'm not sure that a 6-point lead is any more significant than 3.
Right.
With all the points being scored in this game. Here is the quarterback, Ryan Dunham. Yellow Jackets need 5 for a first down. They've got to get it to the 8. Ball thrown to the back edge of the end zone. It's off the hands of an intended receiver. Beyond the end zone flies the ball. And Bell Fountain will take over beyond its own 10 with 2:15 left in the third. And Sydney's defense will have to rise up and force a stop. The Jewelry Barn, located in Rushi, is one of your fine underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. The Jewelry Barn, established in 2011, is very proud and determined to give you the best quality and the best prices. There's a qualified staff at the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. to provide you with great custom jewelry and jewelry repair, too. And the Jewelry Barn also offers ear piercing, watch battery replacement, watch link adjustment, appraisals, free jewelry cleaning and inspection. The Jewelry Barn in Rushi. It will make your ideas come to life. 2:15 left in the third. Chieftains take over at their own 12. Two receivers flanked right. And the workhorse ball carrier barges ahead for about six. Chucky's been running downhill all night long. Sidney really doesn't slow him down till he's 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage.
No, they got a nice 1-2 punch back there running the football. If they figure out any way to throw the ball, they're going to have a pretty good offense too.
Grant Smith, the quarterback. Garrett Gross was the runner on that play. He's been the workhorse. A minute 45 to go in the third quarter. Second down and a little less than five for Bellefontaine at the Chieftains 19. And the ball is again given to the ball carrier, and it's Gross. Sleight of hand maneuver by the quarterback, Grant Smith. Gross took it. Boy, he chugged ahead. He burned up a fast 9 or 10. He's out over the 25 to the 26. First and 10 for the Chieftains. 90 seconds to go in the third quarter. Sidney clings to a 24-21 lead over Bellefontaine. Two receivers to the right for the quarterback for Bellefontaine, who keeps, tries to slide out right outside right tackle, nothing doing. He's bear hugged by two or three black jerseys of Sidney and collared right there.
I'll tell you what, for getting hit at the line of scrimmage, he picked up 4 yards.
Uh-huh.
That's a strong kid.
Yes, 200-pound quarterback is the QB for Bellefontaine. And when you've got a running attack that occupies virtually every play of the game, you need a quarterback of that size and that durability.
Yeah, that's the key, durability, because he gets hit a lot.
Here is the handoff on the play to the feature back, Garrett Gross. He carves out space over right guard. He won't go down. The pile continues to move up and over the 35 to the 37. First down, Chieftains. Don't forget the Jewelry Barn located in Rushi. It will make your gift ideas come to life. Tell Jolene Renderly you heard all about the Jewelry Barn in Rushi on scorersbroadcast.com. Jolene is a GIA certified diamond grader. A certified diamond grader sponsored by the Gemological Institute of America. The Jewelry Barn, 2399 Rushi Versailles Road in Rushi. Phone 526-5557. 526-5557 for the Jewelry Barn, the gem of Rushi, Ohio. Running play by the Chieftains ends the third quarter. The play garners two. When play resumes, Bellefontaine will have it second down and 8 from the Chieftains' 39-yard line. 24-21 our score. It is Sidney over Bellefontaine on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambi Fertilizer and Seed, we have 3 retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There's actually 4 generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. If you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in 6 West Central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, Bambauer, fertilizer.com.
Thanks to U.S. Bank, your banking is done in a few clicks, so you have time to get more done, like wake up, stretch, make yourself presentable, go to meetings, go to the gym, convince yourself you like the gym.
It's fun. I really like it.
You fit a lot into an average day. Thankfully, a U.S. Bank checking account with online and mobile access allows banking to fit in your life. Call 800-720-BANK, visit a branch, or go to usbank.com/checking. U.S. Bank, the power of possible. See a banker or visit usbank.com/checking for more information. Deposit products offered by U.S. Bank National Association, member FDIC.
U.S. Bank offers you 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District.
This is Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee on ScorersBroadcast.com. We have played 36 minutes here tonight at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field. It is Sydney 24, Bellefontaine 21, 12 minutes to go. Chieftains have the football just shy of their own 40 with a second down, 8 yards to go situation upcoming. These two offenses have moved the football up and down the field. Each team has amassed close to 250 yards on the night, 500 yards between them.
Well, 283 for Sydney through three, and 154 of that's through the air.
Uh-huh.
On the other side, Bellefontaine has 246 yards, mm-hmm. 245 of those on the ground.
So Sydney's strength has been up top. Bellefontaine's strength has been on the ground, solely on the ground, and Sydney will have to stop the run or at least slow it down enough to force a punt or two in this fourth quarter in order to win this game.
There's been, what, two punts in the game total?
Now Sydney's had one, I think.
I think Bellefontaine had one.
Yep, Bellefontaine running play outside left tackle, and that's the kind of scrappy defense Sydney needs to employ if the Yellow Jackets hope to stave off Bellefontaine and pull this game out. The second down and nine running play resulted in a gain of about a yard and a half, and that's it. And now the Chieftains have their first true passing down, Chuck, since late in the first quarter.
I'm not sure if I was the coach, I'd call one.
Third down, better than seven to go for a first down. Line of scrimmage just over the 40. Bellefontaine must get to the 47.5 for a first down. In the spread, the quarterback drops to throw at the 33, steps up in the pocket. He scrambles. He got nervous feet. He got a little itchy back there. Did the QB for Bellefontaine, and he belatedly ate the football, ran it to Grant Smith. He garnered three or four, and that's it. Are the Chieftains in four-down territory?
No, they're going to punt. Well, they got the quarterback out there, but the last time they did some little fake play, they might do some kind of a drop-him-back quick kick type thing.
Fourth and four, Bellefontaine from their 44. They run it outside right tackle. A lot of running room, and the ball carrier breaks it. It's Garrett Gross off to the races. He's at the near hash, 40, 30.
Wow.
Look at him go. Sydney chasing, can't get him. Touchdown, Chieftains on fourth and four from the Bellefontaine 44.
I think earlier when they did that fake and then they went ahead and punted, I think that had Sydney just a little bit standing there kind of waiting for the same type of play. And they ran a quick snap, and boy, he was gone.
What a run by Garrett Gross of Bellefontaine, which has taken the lead 27-24. It looked like Sydney was on the verge of maybe stopping the Chieftains, who had a fourth and four inside their own 45. Great blocking up front. And the run was finished off by Garrett Gross, who dodged a couple of would-be Sydney tacklers. And he zipped right through a tackler at the 20, took it to the house. The play, Chuck, went, what, nearly 60?
Went 54.
54 yards officially. Extra point try by Bellefontaine's Rob is good. Derek Robb smacks it down the middle. Big kick because now it's a four-point advantage. 10.5 to go in the fourth. Chieftains 28, Yellow Jackets 24 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center markets in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
That officially was 56 yards. My math is a little weak tonight.
We still have better than 10 and a half minutes to go in the game. Sydney is now down 4. Last time Sydney trailed was at 7-0. Sydney had a 10-point lead at one spot in this game, 24-14. But the Chieftains have answered with 2 7s and are up 4 now as Sydney returns the kickoff and takes it laterally across the field. It's a long run, probably 35 or 40 yards, most of it from the west to the east and out of bounds at the 20, and that's where Sydney starts, 1st and 10.
That was Tabor, and he had trouble picking up the ball down there around the 5-yard line. So he, by that time, the pursuit had gotten down the field on him.
That the Yellow Jackets need to put together a lengthy, time-consuming, productive, point-generating drive. Down by 4 now, 28-24, Bill Fountain in the lead. Here is a delayed handoff way back behind the line of scrimmage, and the Chieftains smell it out and drop it for a huge loss of 7 back to the 13. Well, you feel the momentum switching. Sydney needs a first down to get its offense right back in this game. 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. 28-24, Bell Fountain. Two receivers each way. Deep drop at the 5. Here's a pass to a receiver delaying over the middle. Good catch and run to the boundary. Out of bounds at the 26. Well done play.
That's by Brown.
Brown receiving. Good throw by the QB, Chuck. Dunham hit the receiver in motion running laterally across the field. Hit him right on the numbers.
Yeah, he did a real nice job. He rolled out, rolled away from the pressure and gave himself enough time to throw it.
Mm-hmm. That sets up a makeable 3rd and 4. Keep in mind, it was 2nd and about 17. That play picked up 13. Those yards were crucial. 3rd and 4 for Sydney, down by 4. Line of scrimmage, Yellow Jackets 26. Quarterback keeps. Dunham's electing to run it. He slips a tackle. Another. He's around left end. Spilled 10 yards downfield. He's got the first down. You talk about a patient run by Dunham. He picked his way to get back to the line of scrimmage and just over it. Then he kicked his heels a little bit. Nice play by Dunham, who allowed development in front of him.
Yeah, he made a good choice.
Tell you what, Chuck, it looked pretty dire at 2nd and 17, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
9:24 to go in the fourth quarter. Sydney down 4 to Bill Fountain. Here's a jet sweep to the right. The ball carrier trying to get the corner turned is Brown, and then he reverses field, easy for me to say. And Brown dumped, wound up netting a minus 2 after running a good 15 or 20 all behind the line of scrimmage.
He's a small kid, so that's the one disadvantage for him. Somebody gets a hold of his jersey, he's not going to break the tackle.
Chieftains now forcing some negative plays. Sydney is behind on the chain again, 2nd and 12. Line of scrimmage, the 35 of the Yellow Jackets. Straight deep drop by Dunham. Oh. Here's a pass through the hands of a Sydney receiver and then caught by the second man at the 50. It worked. Don't think that's the way it was designed.
That was not who he was throwing it to, that's for sure.
But the Yellow Jackets will take it.
And again, it was Brown, the freshman. That's a tough catch when it goes through somebody else's hands to keep concentration.
So the Yellow Jackets behind the chains on 2nd down. Twice on this drive, convert. And here's a fake sweep to the right, and the quarterback hangs on. No, it's out of the Wildcat. Running the football, E.J. Davis, near sideline, on the loose. 40, 35, toppled at the 34-yard line as he roams for nearly 20.
They put the freshman in motion. He faked it, and the freshman kept it. I think we're going to be saying these two names for the next 4 years.
Boy, the Sydney offense, Chuck, involves a host of talent, a variety of young men who all have very good wheels.
Well, we talked about all the athletes. We didn't mention those two kids because we didn't know anything about them.
Exactly.
I'll talk about them next time.
Timeout called by Bell Fountain, which is reeling on its heels a bit right now. 8:17 to go in the fourth quarter. It's getting late. Bell Fountain clings to a four-point lead, 28-24. Many thanks to Goffney Furniture in Sydney. The Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. That's the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. You will be pleased. A variety of furniture available for you. And you can get more savings online at goffneyfurniture.com. Take advantage. The Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. Thanks as well to Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Dickman Electrical and Industrial, four locations, Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. And Frisch's in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? Multiple locations up and down I-75. Sydney with a first and 10 from the Bell Fountain, 35. And it is the Wildcat again. And the young man taking the snap runs. And he's got 15 and maybe more. First down, 19-yard line. Let's see where his knee hit.
I'll tell you, the luckiest people in this league are the freshman coaches that aren't going to see these two kids play freshman football against them.
That was E.J. Davis again,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, absolutely. He just stood back there and read where the hole was. I mean, he took his time. He didn't force it. I'm impressed.
Sydney's offense is a puzzle, which is befuddling Bill Fountain right now. Yellow Jackets right up the gut. Plenty of running room. 15, 14, 13-yard line. And that's Brown. Quamir Brown, a freshman, 5'9", 141-pounder. Sydney featuring some talent, Chuck, in the lower grades. 7.5 to go in the game, 28-24, Bell Fountain. But Sydney's knocking on the door, serious threat. Third and two at the Chieftains 13. I'm sorry, second and two at the Chieftains 13. Who's going to score last in this game? Here is a delayed handoff, offensive backfield, running play right at the gut. As the ball was dealt by Dunham to Caleb Harris, and look at him spurt all the way down to about the 6 or 7. It is a multi-pronged running attack for the Sydney Yellow Jackets.
I'll tell you what, Harris, he's no slouch either. We haven't talked a lot about him because these youngsters are out there making these dynamic plays. That kid's been real steady tonight.
And the several times Sydney has passed, the Yellow Jackets have been successful in the air too. From inside the 10, handoff, offensive backfield, running play, left end, 5-yard line at the pylon. It is a touchdown. We have a flag down. Let's see what ensues.
Caught a hold.
Was that Caleb Harris who took it to the house, Chuck?
No, that was, that was Harris, but it's not going to count.
Yep, the run by Harris to the end zone is negated, holding foul against Sydney, and that will cost the Yellow Jackets 6 points and the lead.
Well, the way they're moving it, I think it just might be a temporary setback.
New line of scrimmage is the 13. 10-yard penalty may have occurred down around the 3. So it's goal to go now from the 13. First down is repeated. 6:47 to go in the game. Sydney is down 4. Trips to the right. Wildcat offensive look. And the quarterback in the backfield is corralled, but he eludes trouble. And dancing down inside the 10 to about the 8-yard line goes E.J. Davis once again. It is one elusive back after another for Sydney. Be no field goal tries at the end of this drive.
No, because one 3 points does nothing.
Right. Down 4 with 6:20 to go in the fourth quarter. Sydney faces a 2nd and 8. Goal to go situation inside the 10. Yellow Jackets offensive brain trust, led by Coach Snyder, flashing in the signals with the play. Wildcat look again. The ball is kept, and we got a solid tackle at the 5 or 6.
And a face mask.
We got 2-3 flags on the play. And you're right, Chuck. The way the ball carrier was stopped cold might signal that the headgear was grabbed. And here comes the official as he moves to the near hash with the signal. Personal foul against Bell Fountain. So that penalty does not carry with it an automatic first down, but it does allow Sydney to gain the yardage on the penalty, which takes it inside the 5 to the 4. The down doesn't count, so it's second and goal from the 4. Sydney down 4. And the quarterback gives it off on the play to the ball carrier, who bolts through right up the middle. Touchdown, Caleb Harris. He took the handoff from the QB, Ryan Dunham, and spurted to pay dirt. Good blocking up front for Sydney's offensive line. Yellow Jackets lead by 3. Or I should say by 2. A chance to extend it to 3 with the PAT. Tell you what, Chuck, Sydney's offensive line has done yeoman's work tonight. Very good.
I've been impressed. I mean, this has been a good game.
Yellow Jackets offense subpar last week in the road opener at St. Mary's. But sharp tonight. Big extra point kick on the way by Truesdale. Yes, she's got it. She smacked 4 after touchdowns right between the uprights. Has added a field goal late in the second quarter. And that right now is the margin of difference. Yellow Jackets 31, Bell Fountain 28. Under 6 to play, fourth quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
Street sweepers and snow removers. For such equipment, a local employer manufactures quality replacement parts used across the nation. Close to home, Locale Equipment extends to students at Jackson Center High School the opportunity for a quality college education.
We know the importance of educating right now our future workforce and community leaders.
Locale's Roger Dietrich.
That's why we support Jackson Center High School with scholarships so students can go on and learn career skills.
Jackson Center students and their student athletes have benefited greatly from Locale Equipment for their scholarships. These student athletes have completed their degrees at universities and have started outstanding careers.
Locale began in L.A., California. It moved to Shelby County in 1982, and the community and Jackson Center students are proud.
Thanks so much to Locale for supporting Jackson Center High School.
We are Locale Equipment.
A big reason why Shelby County is a great place to call home.
And thank you here on scoresbroadcast.com to the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. It will make your gift ideas come to life. And the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi. Plus the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282, 498-7282. Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO. Chuck, Sydney's up 3, but the Yellow Jackets are faced with thwarting Bell Fountain's offense for virtually the first time tonight here on this what could be a game-ending drive.
Well, I'd like to see them really just punch everybody up in the line. And if I get beat on a pass, then God bless Bell Fountain. But if they run it down my throat, that's my fault.
Yep. The Chieftains did throw a pick 6 earlier in this game. Sydney returned it to the house from 43 yards for a score. Other than that short drive by Bell Fountain, which wound up in the interception for the touchdown by Sydney, the Chieftains have moved the ball in sizable chunks with regularity on the ground.
Well, they got 305 yards on the ground.
And here's 5 or 6 more, first and 10 from the 32. The run nets 5, maybe 6. And it was the workhorse leading the attack on that play once again. Good job by Garrett Gross. Second down and 4, Bell Fountain. We near the 5-minute mark. Sydney up 3, 31-28. The ball at the Chieftains' 38-yard line. The quarterback hands to the ball carrier, who stumbles outside left tackle. And look at him go. Sydney was looking in the middle of the stack, thinking the ball was there. It wasn't. Chieftain sprung it wide. good enough for 7 or 8. New line of scrimmage, the 47, and it's a first and 10 for Bell Fountain.
Well, as much as I've talked about his inability to throw the ball, he sure can run the ball and read the offense the way he wants to keep it or hand it off.
Yep, Grant Smith does a good job guiding this Bell Fountain attack, just as Ryan Dunham has done for Sydney here tonight. Running effort, Chieftains, first and 10, 46-yard line of Bell Fountain. And barging ahead goes Garrett Gross. He chugs for five more. Sydney thwarts him right at the 50. It will be second down and a little better than five to go. Plenty of time remaining in the fourth quarter. 4:42 to go. Sydney in the lead by 3, 31-28. Receivers left and right. Ball carrier is the QB. Right up the gut. He's got six more and a first down to the Sydney 43. Well, Bell Fountain stopped itself, Chuck, in the first half on that pick. Other than that, Sydney really hasn't slowed the Chieftains down very much at all.
They ran for 129 yards or 107 yards in the first quarter, and the second quarter it was a little tough for them, but they've just picked it right up here in the second half. They're just running right downfield.
We near the four-minute mark. Sydney up three. Bell Fountain with a concerted drive underway. Line of scrimmage, the Sydney 44. Quarterback for the Chieftains, 5 yards behind the line. And here's a running play, left tackle, man on the loose. 35, 30, into the Sydney secondary. Piled up at the 25, out of bounds. Chuck, the thought is running through my mind, if Bell Fountain is going to score, and if you're the Yellow Jackets, maybe you want them to score sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, I subscribe to that philosophy, but they got him out at the 26, so I still think you're really trying to try to thwart this thing. But so far, they're not getting any penetration to even stop. They're 3 yards downfield before they're being touched.
Right. Running play, middle again, stack up at about the 23 or 4. Short gain from the 26 to a spot inside the 25, netting 3. Second down and 7 for the Chieftains with 3:44 to go here in the fourth quarter. And Bell Fountain leading Sydney, or I should say Sydney leading Bell Fountain, 31-28 in a seesaw battle all night. Sydney at one point did have a lead of 10 in this game.
24-14.
Yep. Bell Fountain was on top 7-0 at the start. Then Sydney had a very productive second quarter. And we've got whistles before the snap on this big second and 7 play. And I think it's going to cost Bell Fountain 5, a legal procedure.
So far, the interception and penalties are the only thing that has stopped their offense tonight.
Because don't expect Bell Fountain to panic and throw the football here.
No. If you're Sydney, you want them to panic and throw the football.
Scoreboard momentarily read 3rd and 12 at 2nd and 12. And we're all the way down to 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Sydney nursing a three-point lead, 31-28. One receiver flanked wide right. And here's a fake counter. And the quarterback keeps. He's piled up at the 32. Boy, that's a huge play. Enormous play. And now Bell Fountain on one of these next two plays, Chuck, may have to dip into its passing book.
That was Dylan Vanderpool, and he did a nice job. Penetration wrapped him up and didn't give him any chance to get his momentum going downfield.
In addition to the interception taken to the house by Sydney, that defensive play right there is the second biggest play of this game, because now Bell Fountain is forced into a third and nearly 15. Back at its 31-yard line. Here's a sweep to the right. Sydney tries to cover it up. They slow it down and stop it. It's thwarted at the 29. Gain of 1, that's it. It's going to be fourth and close to 14 to go for a first down for the Chieftains. And Bell Fountain, Chuck, is between a rock and a hard place. 2 minutes to go. You obviously don't want to throw the football. Can't do it very well. And for most every other team in high school football, it is a passing situation.
Well, I think that if I had any kind of a halfback, any kind of a trick play right now, this is when you pull it out.
A minute 47 to go, clock counting. Bell Fountain faced with 4th and 13 at the Sydney 29. Sydney in the lead by 3, and we've got a blown play. No, we got a timeout by Sydney. Yellow Jackets with a timeout. We're all the way down to 95 seconds to go here in the fourth quarter. Sydney nursing a 3-point lead. Big fourth down effort coming up here for the Chieftains.
Well, that's a tough timeout. They must not have been in the right set that they wanted to be in, because that gives Bell Fountain. Bell Fountain didn't. I guarantee you they wanted to call a timeout to talk about this play, but they didn't want to waste one because they don't get it. They're going to need their two timeouts to try to stop the clock to get the ball back one more time.
Yep.
Sydney using that timeout gives them a chance now to talk about what they want to run.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm sure the thoughts about timeouts were running through the heads of the coaches. Sydney decided, well, let's.
They didn't like what they saw defensively against what they were seeing offensively. I guarantee you that was the timeout.
Exactly. And rather be safe than sorry. Sydney took one of its remaining three timeouts. Yellow Jackets have two left. And Bell Fountain's got two left as well. The situation is this. 95 seconds to go in the game. Sydney leads by 3, 31-28. Bell Fountain is faced with 4th and 13 from the Sydney 29-yard line. Defensively, Chuck, here you're between a rock and a hard place. Boy, you want to put pressure on the quarterback if he throws.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I think I'd play a zone. I would keep everybody in front of me and try to pressure him with three down linemen.
And that's exactly what Sydney's going to do. The quarterback is way back at the 40. He throws while being hit, and it is broken up, maybe picked off, intercepted at the 9-yard line. The quarterback was clobbered from behind as he uncorked the football, and on the near hash mark, it was a pickoff by Sydney. It was ruled a catch, scooped before it hit the ground, and the young man being congratulated in the Sydney secondary coming to the near sideline, I think was
Josiah Hudgens.
You're exactly right. Josiah Hudgens with a fine pick middle of the field. Of course, he could have just batted it down.
Right, but you're a kid and you got a chance to intercept one. You're not thinking, gee, what's the smart play here? I'm thinking, I just got me a stat.
Well, had he batted it down, line of scrimmage would have been out of the 29.
Right.
Now, Sydney's inside its own 10. Keep in mind, the Chieftains have two turnovers left.
Two timeouts.
I'm sure. What did I say? Turnover. Chieftains have two timeouts left. They'll have to use them. Boom, boom. One, then another. Sydney right up the gut. No gain. Second down and 10 at the Sydney 8-yard line. Clock is halted. A minute 21 to go. Sydney up by 3, 31-28.
Well, you need to think now if you're Bell Fountain to try to strip the ball carry, because they got one more timeout. Even if they hold them here, it's going to be third down, but then they're going to be able to run the clock down. They're going to get the ball back with about maybe 40 seconds, 35 seconds to go.
That's what I was going to say, 40 tops, more than likely. Chuck, not intercepting that ball there is a tough thing to tell yourself to do. I don't know how many times I've seen it in the pro game.
Oh, I know.
When you got these veteran defensive backs intercepting fourth down throws, they pick them off at the 3-yard line, and they risk running the ball back upfield, getting hit and fumbling.
Well, when Ohio State intercepted Alabama in the Sugar Bowl in the national semifinals, that was the end of the game, but he ran it out anyway, and I'm going, just fall down.
On that play, Sydney made a diving interception, could have just smothered it to the ground, incomplete. Sydney lost about 25 yards field position. Second and 10, Sydney, delayed handoff in the offensive backfield, back at the 2. Sydney gets a couple of good blocks up front and runs it all the way to the 15 or 16. Well done by Darren Taborn. That play, Chuck, generated what, 8 yards, third and 2 coming up?
Yep.
Clock stops, a minute 13. That's the last Bell Fountain timeout. Very good second game of the year. Chuck, this is...
It's been good.
Yeah, we haven't had a second game of the year that's been this enjoyable in quite some time here on scoresbroadcast.com. And we come right back tomorrow night for game three.
I thought this game would probably be close. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how well played it would be, but I'll tell you what, both teams have done some really good things. They're going to be able to, they talked about before the game, the increase, and you get so much better between your first and second. That's mostly, you know, how much you're going to improve. And I think both coaches can take away yep. that they have played better tonight than they did last week.
I will say this, it appears as though Sydney's Achilles heel at this point, like it's been the last several years, especially early on, as defense.
Yeah, I mean, stopping the run, that's something they've struggled for the last few years.
A minute 13 to go. Sydney in the lead by three. Yellow Jackets have third and two at the Sydney 15. A first down run of 2 yards here would end the game. Sydney with an odd cadence by the quarterback, trying to draw Belfountain offside. Didn't do it initially. Delayed handoff, and a bust through the middle, and a first down, and then some. The ball carrier is off to the races for Sydney. He might take it to the house. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Belfountain had 11 in the box. Chieftains had 11 in the box defensively at the 17-yard line, and Sydney ran it right up the middle for 83 and a score.
There is a penalty. They called a clip, and, man, he did not even have to touch him. I'm not sure it was a clip because I think he got his head around, but there is no reason to even throw that. Game's over anyway.
Now, I saw exactly what you saw, Chuck, at about the 25-yard line going in for the touchdown run. A gentleman from Belfountain was trailing the ball carrier for Sydney.
He wasn't going to catch him.
No, not a chance. But that defender for Belfountain had a Sydney man alongside who tried to get his shoulder around in front and block him a little bit, but instead got the shoulder into the back. And as a result, Sydney is penalized. No touchdown run.
Yep.
New line of scrimmage is a 35, but Sydney now with a new set of four with 61 seconds to go in the fourth, and now you just kneel it.
Yeah, I mean, the coaches will talk about that. You didn't need to throw the – you didn't need to block him. You gave the official a chance to make a decision. If you just would have stayed off of him, that there was going to be a touchdown. It's not going to matter tonight. They're going to win the football game.
Right.
But that takes away a touchdown and a heck of a play.
And you know what, Chuck? It was a marginal call. I've seen that not called.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he gave the official the chance to make a call
right.
if he would have stayed off. It was a touchdown.
And to one knee goes the Sydney quarterback. Dunham plops, took a 4 or 5 yard loss back to the 40. And the Chieftains are out of timeouts, and that's going to do it. We're down under 35 seconds. Sydney will snap it once more, and the Yellow Jackets will come away with a second game of the season victory over Belfountain here at home, 31-28. A great game tonight here on scoresbroadcast.com. That will do it. Sydney seemed to progress more from game one to game two than Belfountain. Each team lost in week one. Belfountain lost 28-14 to Wapakoneta. Sydney was beaten at St. Mary's 35-7. But head coach Adam Dungis and his staff really got this football team moving forward very quickly in 6 days. And Sydney, with a great effort tonight, turns back Belfountain. 31-28, Yellow Jackets 1-1, Chieftains 0-2. And that sets the stage for Game 3 tomorrow night here on scoresbroadcast.com. 7:05 webcast time. It is Brookville at Anna. 31-28, Sydney by 3. So many thanks to our great underwriting sponsors here tonight. We salute Goffney Furniture in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings, Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store. We salute the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets, helping vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282 or go to facebook.com/Shelby, COVSO. Your Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets, helping vets. In Rushi, the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum. and the Jewelry Barn in Rushi. It will make your gift ideas come to life. And Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anna, which has grown to include 8 expanding divisions. We also salute Manbauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Frisch's in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? The in-between, just south of Botkins, where the food is not in-between. It's out of this world. John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. John gives you his very best shot. And we say thank you to the Sydney Daily News with the best sports page coverage around. Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney. The U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District. Local Equipment in Jackson Center. Holloway Sportswear in Sydney. Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna on Route 25A. And American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, AAG Inc. in Fort Loramie. Huge win for the Yellow Jackets tonight, Chuck, who evened their record at 1-1. The defense came up strong in Bill Fountain's last offensive possession, and the defense got the job done when it counted most.
Well, they were 11 of 15 throwing the ball for 180 yards. They ran for 213. 393 total yards. Did not turn the ball over. Just like last week, they had 5. This week, they had none.
And you know what I like about that, Chuck? Split fairly evenly, almost down the middle.
Oh.
Running, passing.
Very, very balanced.
Yep.
Bell Fountain, on the other hand, not at all. 304 yards on the ground, 1 yard passing, 305 total yards through 2 interceptions. He threw the ball 4 times, completed 1, and threw 2 interceptions. Turned the ball over twice. That was your game right there.
Yep. And that's going to be an Achilles heel that will impact Bill Fountain all year long unless the Chieftains can get their passing game straightened out.
Well, even if they have somebody there that can throw it, I don't think you can change quarterbacks because he does such a good job running the ball.
Yep.
But they've got to figure out something where they run a little screen or maybe a tight end that just runs a little drag across the middle, something that's quick and can get them 5 or 6 yards on to move the defense just a little bit, because Sydney was playing 10 kids within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage the entire second half, and Bell Fountain still ran the ball for 150 yards against him in the second half.
Yeah, Chieftains do need some semblance of a threat throwing the football, because it will be difficult to win games the rest of the year throwing it, what, just less than 5 times in 4 quarters?
Yeah, they threw the ball 4 times and threw 2 interceptions. So
wow.
I think there's a problem right there.
Huge win for the Yellow Jackets, 31-28 over Bell Fountain. Sydney has now won 4 of the last 7 against the Chieftains. And Sydney won a great game last year. That was the quarterback show, that huge contest over at Bell Fountain week 2. Sydney pulled that one out. Sydney wins again here tonight by 3 points, 31-28. I thought Sydney's defense, Chuck, got better, played smarter, improved as the game wore on. As you said, the six or 7 men in the box for Sydney grew to as many as 8, 9, even 10 on occasions in the fourth quarter.
Well, and they had 10 up there when they had their 65 or 56-yard run for the touchdown. They gave them the lead back. So, you know, I mean, there's play. Both teams are going to find things that they really like about their film, and they're going to find some things that they still need to work on.
What a difference in styles. Bell Fountain, very limited offensively. We called the players, we called, what, 2 names of offensive players all night?
Yeah.
The quarterback
and
the chief running back.
That was it.
And Sydney spread the ball around among 8 or 9 guys all evening long.
Well, we saw Taborn. We saw Harris. I thought Harris had a great game. Brown, a freshman, had a great game. I had trouble finding him with his 6 different number changes. Dunham had a heck of a game. I thought he was tough. And E.J. Davis, when we get to the Clancy's player of the game here in a second, we're going to mention his name again.
You've highlighted stats. Do you have any more notes to make?
No, that's basically what we did. You know, we just talked about 393 total yards for the Yellow Jackets, 305 for Bell Fountain.
Can't overlook the pick six for a score by Sidney in the second quarter. That was huge.
Yeah, Josiah Hudgens had a heck of an interception. Actually, the only battle he had was that the other defender, he had to fight him off to get it, so he got the touchdown because the receiver had no chance of catching that pass.
And in the end, four extra points and a field goal by Hallie Truesdale are the difference.
Yep, she gave him 7 points tonight.
Oh, what a well-rounded effort by the Sidney Yellow Jackets here this evening. Chuck, let's just move forward right into our star or stars of the game.
Well, I picked two. I thought that Ryan Dunham, I thought he did a real nice job at quarterback, threw the ball well, managed the game well, and E.J. Davis, a freshman, came in there. I don't know how much they ran the wild card last week. I look at the stats, and I'm trying to find his name on here. I don't see that he had a carry last week in the game. So that was something they put in this week for Bell Fountain, and it was very effective. And Quamir Brown, another freshman, was one step below the Clancy's player of the game. But I'm going to go with Dunham, and I'm going to go with E.J. Davis.
An extremely diversified offensive attack for Sidney prevails tonight in the three-point win over Bell Fountain. Those young men are our Clancy stars. Clancy's Restaurant, Wapak Avenue in Sidney.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sidney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sidney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sidney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Chuck, in closing, you just made a comment about Sidney's quickness. It's a speedy football team, tough to corral.
Well, I mean, Roberts, who to me still is the best athlete, I think he only touched the ball twice tonight.
Yeah.
And they still came up with 31 points and got the win. So if they can figure out a way to get that young man involved in the offense with those two freshmen, they're just a wealth of talent out there. And at the offensive line, I mean, I thought they did a terrific job tonight. They gave him a chance, done him a chance to look down the field. They ran some crossing patterns where he had time. They rolled him out of the pocket to get away from the pressure. I thought it was a well-called game and a well-played game by the Yellow Jackets offensively for sure.
Sidney had 5 turnovers last week at St. Mary's. Not one tonight, right?
No turnovers.
And that wins football games.
Sure it does. Yeah. And it won the one tonight.
And Sidney comes out on top of 3. 31-28. Splendid performance. Defense was tough late in the game. Defense was also very good in the second quarter. Bell Fountain moved the ball pretty freely in the first and third. Sidney moved it better, just enough better than did Bell Fountain, and that was the difference. Actually, when you look at the scoreboard, 31 minus 28 is 3. And guess who provided the 3 points at the end of the second quarter?
Well, you got that 3, and one of the huge things for Sidney is the fact they were incredibly balanced. Like you said, it was almost 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough to stop.
Yeah, Yellow Jackets they run it more than they pass it, or pass it more than they ran?
Oh, let me go back and
very
find it here.
Close.
It was 213 running and 180 throwing it.
Oh, that's a combination. That head coach Adam Dunn just will take every single game.
Oh, yeah, he'll take 400 yards of offense.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow night, webcast time, 7:05, as we have high school football from, let's see, we're featuring the Anna Rockets tomorrow night at home.
Right.
Against the Brookville Blue Devils.
Right.
We covered Anna Brookville last year at Brookville. Both teams graduated a number of young men. It appears to be pretty even, Steven, tomorrow night, 7:30 kickoff, just like tonight was. It should be a good game. Anna did roll up 4 touchdowns in a loss opening game at Fenwick.
Against a really good Middletown Fenwick team.
Indeed,
so
no question.
I'm excited to see them.
Yep, and Brookville rallied from behind and won its first game of the year, 26-22, over Tri-County North after being down 22-0.
Wow, nice.
So we got quite a head knocker, I think, coming up tomorrow night at webcast time, 7:05. It is Brookville at Anna. And keep apprised of scoresbroadcast.com. We'll be promoting next Friday's game for you in the next couple of hours. And more than likely, it will be Covington at Fort Loramie. That more than likely is our week three Friday night game for you next Friday evening. A gorgeous night here at Sydney for high school football. Great crowd on hand for Sydney's home opener here on a Thursday. It was TV'd, but tell you what, Chuck, it didn't turn the crowd away, did it?
Nope, and we had probably 15,000, 20,000 people listening to us. So.
And the Sydney Yellow Jackets knock off. Excuse me as I lose my voice here at the end of the night. The Sydney Yellow Jackets knock off the Bellefontaine Chieftains by 3-31-28. A lot of fun. This was a heck of a ball game.
It was a well-played ball game. I mean, it was fun to watch. I thought it was going to be close, but maybe sloppy. It turned out to be close and a good game.
Yeah, you're right. For Chuck McBee on color stats and on-site engineering, I'm Jack Kramer saying good night from here at Sydney Memorial Stadium in 30-0 Field, where the Yellow Jackets have turned back Bellefontaine in a close one, 31-28.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.